It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley are here. We'll talk about the latest release date for Windows 9, at least a preview. Mary Jo Foley has the scoop. She also has the new HTC One based on Windows Phone. She'll give us a little tour. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 376, recorded August 20th, 2014. Take back your rubles. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Citrix ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with Citrix ShareFile. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. And by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device for 30% off the lifetime of your account. Go to itpro.tv/WW and use the code WW30. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code WINDOWS to receive $10 off at checkout. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Windows Weekly. With the return of the prodigal son, Paul Thurrott is back. He's still in Barcelona, but he's back from his walkabout. And it's good to have you back. Thanks to Daniel Rubino for filling in, but no one could fill your shoes, Paul.
I am a big person.
Great pictures of your family for people who follow. Do you allow public followers on Facebook?
No.
So I won't talk about it then.
No, I don't mind if you put them up on the show. That's fine. We're all friends here, Leo.
Okay. Yeah, I let people follow me because then.
I used to do that, but it got out of control.
It's out of control. So, it looks like you're having a great time with the family. I do have a question about one of these pictures.
I think I might know which one it is.
Do you?
I know which one it is.
Do you? You think you do? All right, let me see if I can pull it up. And Mary Jo Foley is here from allaboutmicrosoft.com. You know, it was funny. I was talking to Mike Elgin. He said, you know, the thing that's great about Windows Weekly is you have probably, you know, there are a handful of journalists who get Windows scoops, and you've got two of them on the show, like the top journalists on the show, and that's what makes Windows Weekly so great. And I had to say, I agree. So is this?
You know,
go ahead.
I'm over. I got to get back to Mike Elgin about something. He recommended an absinthe place to me, and I couldn't. We spent a lot of time trying to find it, and it doesn't appear in web searches. And I got to ask him where this place is because we just struck out big time trying to find it.
Well, he's listening right now.
Oh, is he here?
Oh yeah, he's always.
I've been meaning to email him since
Mike,
you know,
never
Saturday.
Leaves. I will gather him up.
Is he chained to a desk?
Yeah,
Leo, he's got a family.
You know, it's so. This is the picture I was thinking of. I don't know if that's...
I figured that was the one you were wondering about.
So I see a lot of American moolah, a small submachine gun, and you're all wearing fedoras. What's going on?
So this is a place called Rumen Escape, which is it's a puzzle game, a live puzzle game. And so you go into a house, and there are clues, and you get from room to room. And
fun.
You
have,
cute.
Yeah, it was awesome, actually. It was really good. And I think they must tailor it to
Americans.
Where you're from within reason. Yeah. So this was like a 1930s gangster-style thing. And obviously there's American, you know, money or whatever.
Are you competing against people, or are there others?
No, you're working together as a team.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a lot of fun.
Is that in Barcelona? Where is that?
Yeah. I think there's a few around. I think there's some in other cities, too, but this one was in Barcelona.
It's such a cute picture. You're going to cherish that in years to come when your children have turned to ugly teenagers who hate you.
Plus, I think I might have found a nice new look for myself.
Wearing
a small hat.
Yeah.
And
I think
holding
that's
money.
Your new profile.
And holding money.
Yeah, basically, you look like a racetrack tout.
like a pigeon stoolie.
I got a tip for you.
Yeah.
Whirl away in the fifth. Wow. All right.
That is funny.
Paul Thurrott, racetrack tout. Well, it looks like you're having a good time. I'm glad you're having a good time.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. Would you ask Mike Elgin What was the name of the absinthe place?
Well, no, I know the name of it. The problem is I can't find
it. Paul couldn't find it. Can you get Mike to give us the address? Because
really
he wants absinthe now. Do they do the green fairy?
Yeah.
That would be fun. So that you have a little, you have a sugar.
Leo, listen, nothing is out of bounds in this city. Nothing.
Well, I'm glad he's calling us from the Las Vegas of Spain.
What stays in Barca.
Yeah,
or
yeah, whatever it is.
I'm like George W. Bush over here.
Say it. So let's talk about Winders. What do you say? Winders.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. Are you able to keep up pretty well there in Spain?
Yeah, actually, you know, one thing I notice every year when I come out here is that when you're 5-6 hours ahead of the East Coast of the United States, you're actually in a really good place from sort of a news perspective, because stuff happens. A lot of times Microsoft will post things at midnight or whatever, and you're kind of on the ahead of the curve.
Oh.
And I like being in Europe for that reason. The other thing is, you know, we have kind of these weird half-day schedules where I get up early, I work a little bit, work 2-3 hours, whatever, and then we go out for half the day. And then I come back, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning back home, but it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon here, and then I work for a few more hours. And it kind of splits up the day nicely, too. It's kind of a nice schedule. So, yeah.
Good.
I'd rather be here, you know, than Boston, from a scheduling perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, just stay there.
Well, listen, that might happen, Leo.
So, scoop
number
one.
You can stay there until Tech Ed.
Yeah.
Is Tech Ed? That's right. It's in Barcelona.
Yeah.
But not to when? Next year?
Not until October. Late October.
Of next year or this year?
This year.
Oh, you should stay.
Yeah.
It's nothing. A couple of months. Kids could go to Spanish school.
Good to go.
They can learn to do the Macarena or whatever it is they do.
Right.
Don't. So, Mary Jo, scoop number one this week. You got the date for Threshold, the next version of Windows.
Yeah, we know. Well, I can't say we know for certain, but sources are saying that there's going to be a technical preview of Threshold at the very end of September or early October. And what this is it's not like a developer preview from what I'm hearing, but it's more meant to be like an enterprise preview where Microsoft shows off some of the features that it's going to have. And it's going to focus a lot on business users, which is really interesting because I think they feel like, or at least some people on the team may feel like they overcorrected a little bit with Windows 8 and they made it too consumer focused and didn't focus enough on business. And so I think the idea behind the tech preview is going to be to show to businesses, hey, we didn't forget about you. And here's what we're going to be doing with the next version of Windows that we think you're going to really like. One of the big things, supposedly, in this is they're going to have an agreement. So if you take the tech preview bits that are going to be available, you're going to have to also agree from that point on to take the mandatory updates as they come out. And so this is part of their whole servicing, patching strategy where they're going to try to overhaul that and make it more, hopefully, more functional. Yeah. And I'm looking for the right word.
It's important that you qualify that statement.
More functional than it currently is, which is non-functional, pretty much. And also get people on the latest version so that everybody's kind of on a common baseline instead of some people being on one version, some having patches, some not patching. And so they're trying to get everybody to agree to kind of be on the same threshold, let's say.
You know, I actually think what this is related to is the kind of the second story, because we had a screw up this month with Windows Update that we'll get to. But when you think about rapid release, when you think about mobile first, cloud first, and so forth, you know, one of the big themes is Microsoft is updating and updating and updating, regardless of whether it's an online service or something that's locally installed on people's computers. And, you know, we talk about Office 365 a lot and how they update Office 365 fairly regularly. And it's interesting to watch a traditional software product be updated on kind of a cloud services schedule. But the truth is, that's really hard. It might even be impossible. You know, that if Microsoft wants to update, you know, OneNote up in the cloud or OneDrive up in the cloud or whatever, you know, you're changing it basically in one place. I mean, not really, but you're not changing it on everyone's computers. When you actually have to go out and touch millions and millions, possibly billions of computers, you know, this is when problems crop up. And I think the reason they're requiring this monthly update or regular, you know, you have to agree to the updates is literally just to test this. Because I don't think it's really worked so far at this scale.
Yeah. And, you know, the other challenge when we're talking about updates is different kinds of users want updates at different paces, right? So, you know, consumers or home users may want them as soon as they're available. Like, wow, I want that feature. I want it the minute it's done. And let me just throw that on my machine and see what happens.
After my experience with the 1520, I might caution a little bit more.
Yeah.
Judicious.
But, you know, enterprises do not want that.
Should have known. Yeah.
Not a good thing. Yeah. And so they're going to have to figure that out too, right? They can't just say everybody must take every update the minute it is available. I'm betting they're going to have some kind of a thing where you can delay the update if you're a business customer or have the, or maybe everybody gets the option to delay the updates. I don't know.
Well, to a point, right? Because, this is what they do with Office 365. You know, as a consumer, you're pretty much buying into, you're getting the updates. If you go to a small business or higher version, they have an option now. You can go into the UI and say, I do want to get the releases as soon as they come out. But businesses can schedule to delay those things, but not forever, right? Because there's some sort of – it's all tied into that serviceability thing. They can't have all of their customers on slightly different versions of Office 365. That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the problem area, I think, for this whole scheme because – and, you know, again, we'll get to it. But what happened this month is, you know, kind of confirming the worst fears of IT and the enterprise when it comes to rapid release. You know, this is what everyone was saying. What, you know, this is why we don't do this. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But, yeah, as far as threshold goes, back to that story, you know, we're thinking preview bits, those technical preview bits come out around late September, early October. I think they are going to be just for the... for the Intel-based clients, that's my guess. I don't think we're going to get that version of Threshold yet that's the combined one that's going to work on phones and tablets. I think we're just going to see what most enterprises would deploy, which would be the Intel-based Threshold early bits, you know.
Right.
People have asked me about server too. They've been saying, you know, will there also be a preview simultaneously of Windows Server Threshold or Threshold? I don't know what you call it, Threshold Server. I don't know if that'll be timed to coincide with that or if that'll be something they hold back maybe for Tech Ed Europe. I don't really know at this point.
Are they going to keep the Threshold name on this?
No.
So it will be Windows 9 or whatever.
They're not that cagey, Leo.
Windows 1.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Windows 9.
Why don't we do a reboot and call it Windows 1?
I like it.
One Drive, Xbox One, Windows 1. Yeah. One Windows to rule them all.
Yep.
Right.
Maybe that's what Nadella meant.
Maybe.
One Windows.
One Windows. It's the name. Windows.
We're going back to one.
One.
Yeah.
Will a business be able to look at this preview and vet it for? I mean, part of the process, as you say, part of the process is making sure it works with all their systems. It's not going to be complete enough to do that, is it?
No, I mean, it's not going to be something they're going to let you say to you, "Hey, you can deploy this now," and
test with it. I mean, it sounds like it's really.
But that would be what it's for, right?
It is for that. Okay, good. Okay,
yeah.
So complete enough to do that.
Hopefully complete enough to do that. You know, I haven't heard that this qualifies as a dev preview. So I don't know, you know, maybe there will be at least some of the APIs that developers need to start taking a look at available at that time. I'm not really clear from what I've heard about how complete this thing that we see in September is going to be.
Right.
Well, I mean, people like Rafael Rivera will be ripping this thing to shreds, even if there are no SDKs. Right. I mean, it will know everything.
He's
that
already
is in
ripping it to shreds in his mind.
Yeah.
And the fact if they really, I mean, I don't know why anybody would want a preview of a server except for testing, right? I mean, there's he's not, oh, look at the neat features. It's not, you know.
I mean, it's hard to understand.
Features. Yeah. I mean, remember when Microsoft had Windows Server 2012, there were a lot of new features in that. Okay. You know, they're not UI kind of features necessarily. Right. But
since 8.1 R2, you know, server has taken a real backseat from...
It has.
Just a news perspective. I know it's not the right way to look at it, but when you think about moving to the cloud, I mean, their server products are the obvious things that they can do quickly and first. And you know, Azure is not Windows Server in the cloud per se, but Azure as a new platform, Azure as a platform you can migrate to, Azure as a platform you can integrate with what you have. You know, it seems like that's where all the action is. So I'm kind of curious. Obviously, there'll be a server version, but
You know, what did they do with Windows 8? I can't remember what they did with Windows 8. If they had the simultaneous,
if there was a server at the same time,
I can't remember.
I actually don't remember, but I bet there was. Yeah,
I bet there was too. I mean, they build them
actually.
Together,
a positive there was because there was. Okay. In fact, because they couldn't show off the final UI, we went to a reviewer's workshop for that. They couldn't even show the, you know, what the modern stuff looked like.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This just in. I'm being handed a piece of paper that says. The place is not in Barcelona, it's in Valencia. So that's why.
Damn you, Mike Elgin.
That's why you couldn't find it.
Okay.
It all makes sense.
So,
well, there is like a famous place for absinthe in Barcelona.
He said that. He can't remember the name. That's on the Gran Via.
We have that.
De la Corte Catalanas, number 287. But if you ever get to Valencia, go to the Calle Caballeros 25. In Valencia.
Okay.
This just in. Breaking news.
Thank you.
Is Barcelona anywhere near Valencia? No.
It's in the same country.
I'm sorry. It's in Los Angeles, not San Francisco. I don't know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
How long did you spend looking for it? I think Mr. Elgin owes you.
It's okay. Actually, that night was great. Okay. We had,
Hey, any excuse to wander Barcelona is all you need.
It's not a bad place to walk around.
What a great town. Yeah. I'm so jealous. Yep. Anything else to say before we move to the next item?
One question I've also gotten, and I just got it here on Twitter from Ashley Quint, is do you think there'll be a Gemini preview at the same time as the Threshold preview?
The touch-first version of Office.
Great, touch-first version of Office. I do not think those two things are tied together. Supposedly, last we heard from our sources, are coming out at the same time, spring 2015, first half 2015. But I don't know that those two things will actually happen at the same time. So I think there is going to be a preview of Gemini sometime, probably this year, but I don't know that it will be tied to the tech preview of Threshold.
Okay.
That's all I can say on that for now.
You are the scoop queen. All right. We have, we'll talk about that rapid release cycle and what happened last week. But first, a word from ShareFile. If you have to share files in business, you might be tempted to attach them to an email. Don't do it! I've been telling people for years, don't open attachments. That's the number one way people get bit with viruses. It's a real vector for viruses. But I understand if you're in business, you need to send contracts, presentations. Big files are a part of the deal. What are you going to do, roll them up, put them in a tube and mail them? No, you're going to use ShareFile. ShareFile.com. It's the best way to share files in business. Citrix ShareFile makes it very easy. Instead of sending a file, which is, of course, you know, a verboten for security, it also is not private, right? Anything sent as an email attachment can be read everywhere along the way. And you have the big problem with bounce pads today. Files are so big, you could swamp somebody's inbox. So with ShareFile, you're sending a secure link. You're not sending a file. You're sending a secure link. And ShareFile makes it really easy to do. They've got so many great features. If you visit ShareFile.com, you can find out about it. Among other things, they've got these great tools to make it easy. I use the sync widget on my Macintosh. They have a great sync widget for Windows, obviously, as well. It means I could just save a file to a folder, and it's automatically shared with people that I, you know, have previously set it up. So they get a notification in their email. Olio added a new file. I do that a lot of times with KFI in Los Angeles and some of our stations because I send them a lot of files. So I just sync and they get the notification. I don't have to do anything. There's a desktop widget. There's a full API so your IT department can customize it completely. It is compatible with FTP and, more importantly, secure FTP, SFTP, and even WebDAV. In fact, it's WebDAV that they use for their interface at ShareFile.com. One of the nice things about it is when your customer gets that link, they're going to get a click it, and they're going to be sent to a page that is HTTPS, it's secure, that has your company logo, your branding on it, and a big button that says download. They don't have to sign up for anything. They just download it. You can also use ShareFile to request files from people. Lawyers do that all the time when they're requesting documents. This is a great solution. I want you to try Citrix ShareFile right now for free for 30 days. And all I ask is you visit the site, and while you'll see a bunch of start your free trial buttons, it's the now where is it? Here we go. I have to go back to the front page. There it is. At the very top in the smallest letters possible, because they want to know that you really care. You see it says podcast listeners. That's the link you should click. And when you do, write in the word Windows. Paul and Mary Jo will thank you as the offer code. Do select your industry, too, because ShareFile is compliant with regulations in financial services, in medicine, in many industries, and it provides that additional layer of security. So type in Windows, try it free for 30 days, Citrix ShareFile, and you can tell the boss, I found a solution. I did. I've been using it ever since. ShareFile.com. Click the listeners, the microphone at the top of the page, and use the offer code Windows. Windows Weekly on the air with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. The most highly decorated Windows.
So like veterans of war.
Yeah.
Decorated. Wow.
They're highly decorated.
Tours of service. The Longhorn escapades.
Just real quickly, I think Nokia is going to send me a new 1520.
Yeah, I think they are.
But, you know, I just, everybody tells me, we had a Nokia engineer in here yesterday from Finland. Yeah. His name was Huha. And apparently a distinguished Finnish name.
Yeah, sure.
But Huha told me, I think it was pronounced Juha. J-U-H-A. Juha, Juha, or Huha. It was unclear. But he said, you can't brick this. I said, I bricked it. That's, he said, no, give it to me. And he said, no, you pressed volume down. Oh, you bricked it. Did you try? Yeah. Oh, you know, you bricked it. So he verified that, in fact, you know, I think it could be, this is unlikely, but a coincidence, like it zapped, something broke right when I was doing the firmware. Because the firmware write failed twice. And then it says, whatever you do, don't unplug it. But it's sitting there, it failed. So I sat and I looked at it.
You unplugged it, didn't you?
I had to. What am I supposed to do?
Leo, it said literally, do not unplug it.
Yeah, I understand, Paul, but it wasn't going anywhere. Well, anyway, I take full responsibility.
Go to your room.
I know. It says, whatever you do, do not unplug it.
You're having a week
this.
With no screens.
So Huha said to me, it's very unlikely, but if you did it just at the right time, you could not only clobber the main firmware, the operating system, Windows 8.1, yeah. But you could actually clobber the little tiny boot code that's in there designed for recovery. If you clobber that, then indeed nothing will happen. I should get something, some buzz or something, and I'm getting nothing.
Yeah.
So I think
so.
It's,
you held down volume down and power for 20 seconds plus.
He said, sometimes it takes 10 minutes. So I held it down for half an hour.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Was it plugged in when you did that?
I did all, Paul, you're starting to sound like Twitter. So I mentioned this on Twitter, and they did, this is the litany. And I just said, can you just assume that I've done everything I could Google?
Leo, was this during the supermoon?
Yes, it was. I've done the freaking Konami code. Up, down, up, down, left, right, A, B, A, B.
Yeah.
Okay. They have one. There's a Konami code kind of thing.
Sure.
And I did it. I've done it all. And Nokia said, well, you know, give me. They said, what's your IMEI number? I said, I don't know. Can you tell?
Yeah, I can't. Right.
Black.
Don't go into my bio. Oh!
But all of this was so that I could get Cyan. I'd already done the developer preview.
I remember. Yeah.
Now, did they do an update with Cyan? Have they released that yet? Because it's going to kill me if they do. Or I still would be out of luck.
Yeah. No. Well, not in the developer preview.
Right. They're still holding that back.
It's out publicly. If you had reset it successfully, you could have gotten it.
So that was what Rubino said. He said, just roll it back to 8.0.
Sure.
And then do the updates as if you were a normal person and everything, and you'd get Cyan, get the new firmware.
Yeah, then you can get back on the developer preview if you want.
Yeah.
It It's a sad fate for a beautiful phone.
I know. That's it what kills me. It is a gorgeous
You're going to get another
phone.
One. You're going
to
get
You know what's funny is I've always found that phone to be too big. And I was semi-forced to use it on this trip because AT&T wouldn't unlock my 1020. And so now I'm just carrying this thing around. And so now, of course, after 2.5 weeks, I'm really used to it. And now I pick up a really big phone, like a Samsung Galaxy S5. And I'm like, man, this screen is really small.
Uh-huh. Isn't it funny?
You know? Yeah, it's weird how you get used to stuff.
I've gotten a little attached to this phone, I'd be honest with you. So like they're saying that I could find the IMEI on the SIM card. I don't think that's true, but...
No, that's
it's not related. The IMEI is a hardware identifier, not the SIM identifier.
Yeah, that's for the phone.
Yeah. He says...
If you could just get it to settings, I could tell you exactly where to go.
There's so many know-it-alls. Everybody says, oh, no, you can't brick this. Press volume down until it... And I said, no, you don't understand. I'm not a complete idiot. I've actually Googled every possible solution. I've pressed every up and down. Yeah. I've done it for lengthy amounts of time.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'm sorry, Leo.
But is it fully charged? Yes, it's fully charged.
People are just trying to be helpful.
No, I completely understand that. And Cortana even chimed in.
She tried to help.
There's a Cortana Twitter account. And she,
Did she say, you know, maybe you should just use an iPhone?
My cousin Siri says, anyway, it's fine. Well, yeah, I'll get it fixed. Now maybe I can get a mint green one.
Oh, yeah. Those are nice. Daniel Rubino had one at the launch this week. It looks nice.
Love it.
Pretty cool.
Yep. All right. I'm sorry. I've hijacked the show. I've been taking lessons from John C. Dvorak, and I have now completely put us off target. Let's talk about the Windows update that went wrong last week.
Yeah, we don't complain enough.
Can you blame you? You seem like you're blaming this on rapid release. This is just a bad update. It happens.
You know, I don't, Mary Jo, I don't know if this is the case with you. I've heard from some people at Microsoft about this. Actually, I should say, I've heard from some people who used to work at Microsoft about this, and they have their own theories of why this went south. Have you heard about any of this stuff?
Because apparently, I've heard some wrong theories about why this went wrong.
So apparently, the update. Did something wrong with the fonts, right? It put them in a bad place or something like that.
My understanding is there's multiple updates, multiple problems.
Yeah.
And some of them are fairly benign, you know, font rendering or whatever. And some of them are really serious, like your computer doesn't boot, you get blue screens.
Yeah.
But it's all the same update, right?
It's different.
There's a bunch of things in the update. Yeah. It wasn't just one failure. I think it was several failures, and there were several things in the update, right? So different parts seem to have problems.
If only it affected Windows 7, would have been fine, you know.
It was all Windows 7 users who were affected, or not, or was it also Windows 8 users? That I wasn't
also
sure.
Say, yeah.
It was
multiple,
both. Okay.
Multiple,
yeah. So things went bad. Microsoft ended up pulling the update, and they say they're going to re-release it, I believe. But we don't know when.
Right.
And it still is not re-released as of today, which is Wednesday, the 20th.
Is it a critical update? Awesome. Was it a critical?
No, it wasn't. It was optional, wasn't it?
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I care, obviously, but roll it back. It's not like your security issue or something. Right? It would be funny if it affected those people who had done that reg hack to turn their Windows XP into the Windows embedded.
Oh, man.
I think it did crash their systems.
Oops. Yeah. Yeah.
So congratulations.
I think those people are getting exactly what they paid for. That's okay.
Yeah. I also read today that Microsoft has suggested some workarounds for some of the people getting Windows 7 blue screen of death, but those aren't helping some people, and they're still getting blue screen of death.
So how do you fix it if you can't reboot?
Well, there are different ways to do it. You can boot with a recovery disk, right?
Okay.
And you can use system restore to go back to the point in time before you install the updates.
Okay.
Because every time you do Windows updates, a system restore point is made. So that would work. Of course, you know, restore disks are like backups. You know, everyone talks about them, but nobody really does them. So you find people scrambling. I would say if you have a Windows 7 setup disk, that is a restore or repair disk. I forget they've changed the terminology, but a recovery disk or a repair disk.
So few people get disks these days. Almost everybody will have you know, that option to make the discs. Do you have five DVDs lying around? Get ready because we're going to make them, and
I
they never do.
Windows 7, you can use USB, though.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So
that's right. And that was a huge improvement because everybody, what do you need? Like a 8 gig drive, I think. Or is it 4 gigs?
Yeah, it's not very big. Yeah, yeah. Whatever the size, it's not very big.
Yeah.
There are ways around it.
BB16 is saying booting into safe mode if you had the blue screen might have also helped. Maybe. I don't know.
The goal is you want to roll back. You know, either uninstall that update or do a system restore.
Right.
Either one of those should, you know, temporarily solve the problem.
Yeah. So it's funny. A number of people in the chat room did get bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't uncommon, or
are they all Windows 7, or what's the
Windows 7? I think they're saying Windows 7 for the most part.
Yeah. I think that was the most serious stuff. Yeah. I think the blue screen stuff was.
Yeah.
Because I installed
Windows
everything.
7, Windows 7 Home Premium, wasn't it, that was especially affected, or in particular? There were so many reports about what was going wrong and what was going on, it was hard to keep up with what was actually wrong.
But most people didn't have a problem.
I didn't.
So it was just some sort of weird interaction.
That's probably true. I did not have a problem. Yeah. Because you're on Windows 8 now, Mary Jo, yes? Right, of course you're in the new computer.
No, I'm still using Windows 7 on my main machine.
Oh, you
and
are?
Have no plans to switch. Yeah.
Yikes.
No, I mean, it works. It's not broken. Man. Not anything.
I have
On my laptop, I use Windows 8. You've seen me do that.
She's waiting for Threshold, Paul.
I am. I am waiting for Threshold.
I'm really curious about the reaction to Threshold because I really feel like Threshold is going to be something that is recognizably Windows 8 point something, you know?
Yeah.
They could do that same ad thing that they did. Remember with Vista?
The Mojave Project.
Yeah, the Mojave. Yeah. And it'll be the same.
Like Enterprise in particular is going to look at this and say, not enough. You know? So we'll see how this...
I think
I'm a little worried about this because.
No, you know what, Paul? Remember how people reacted to Windows 7 and they acted like it was this huge, unbelievably amazing thing when it was really just fixing Vista in most ways.
That's true. That's true.
So people may be just happy enough with, hey, they fixed a lot of the things I thought were really annoying.
And by fixed, you mean literally just remove them.
Removed or returned if it's the start menu you were talking about. Yeah.
I hope you're right.
So I don't know. I think you know, it is hard to predict in advance what people are going to think of it. And you know what? I bet there are going to be new features too. It's not just going to be, you know, back to the future kind of thing. It's going to be some new changes to the Metro side.
Again.
Right. I think there will be changes.
With regards to this botched update, though, I mean, I thing is problematic on many levels. It's the enterprise aspect to it, which is why I thought of that. Obviously, but there's also, you know, if it is in fact true, for example, that Windows 7 Home Premium was the one that was struck the hardest, right? This is like this is the heartland of the Windows community, right? This is like normal people. They have bought into Microsoft's advice, upgrade, you know, every month, do all the updates, you know.
Yep.
You know, they're probably defragging their hard drive and running their antivirus and updating their signatures, and they're doing the right thing. And you know, when you get punished for doing the right thing, it's kind of tough. This has been a bad
event. What did the update promise? If it's not a critical update, then it was an optional update, yes?
Yeah.
Did it say, hey, better font rendering? I mean, what did it say?
Well, this is the thing. I took exception to this because the update that used to be called Update 2, when you look at that in Windows Update, what it says is just it's a generic name. You know, this update fixes problems in, you know, Windows, whatever. It sounds like it's a fix, and that's not what that is. I mean, I'm sure there are some fixes in it, but it never said anywhere in there, oh, and it includes these several new features, you know, none of which were major, but the presentation of it is just one update in a string of many, many updates, and they all have similar, very similar names, very similar descriptions. They're not called out in any meaningful way. I mean, I think someone who was just being...
They'll just do it all.
Would just look at the list and say, obviously I want all of these things.
Yeah.
Why would I have 12 of 13? I'll take all 13. Yeah. You know?
You have to drill down into the KB articles to see, like, one of the updates was support for the new currency symbol for the Russian ruble. That was one of the updates, right?
Right.
No, but it's just the way they describe it. In fact, I'm going to see if I can find it, because I was struck by how poorly it was described, you know, because it in no way, actually I did find it. So this is for update two, but this is what it says. Now remember, this is update two, right? Which we know has new features. Install this update to resolve issues in Windows.
Okay, I'll take it.
For a complete listing of the issues that are included in this update, you know, like features, see the associated Microsoft Knowledge Base article for more information. After you install this item, you may need to restart your computer. Yeah. It's an update for Windows 8.1. It fixes issues. Yeah. I want this update.
I have issues. It fixes issues. Yeah,
right.
It's a perfect
match.
It fix
mine too? Yeah. All right. Paul knows Aiden Finn, who goes by Joe Elway on Twitter.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. I just made it rain.
We're having a cloud. Cloud and rain.
Put it over my head.
I pushed a button. Yeah. I don't know what I did.
It's a black cloud because of the patch problem.
They've got things. Okay, just
when lightning flashes, it looks like the Windows flag.
Nice.
Just please ignore the rain cloud. I'm going to push the special emergency button that gets an engineer to fix it.
Now, Paul, I was going to say, you know Aiden Finn, right? The guy who goes by Joe Elway on Twitter. He's a Microsoft MVP. He does a lot of Hyper-V server stuff.
Thank you.
He did a blog post where he's been recommending to people, you know what I recommend? You should delay deploying any patches from Microsoft for 1 month.
What? Because I've been telling
you. I'm just saying. Because
we don't test them.
Enterprise. Microsoft's testing them, but this
is what we need. We need somebody to make a graph that shows the number of Windows updates that have shipped on Patch Tuesday every month for the past couple of years, whatever, 3-5 years, you know, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
And then show which ones have had problems, which ones are the number of ones that have had some kind of problem and needed a fix of some kind, the number of times Microsoft has actually pulled a patch and said, no, do not install this, and then had to release a new version. And I guess what I'm curious about is, as we move forward in time, whether the instances of problems have gone up over time. Obviously, they don't go up in a linear fashion, but maybe over time you see that trend. Mm-hmm. If that's true, and I don't know that it is, by the way, and I'm not actually suggesting that it is, but if it is, then his advice is correct, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because the old advice where we said, trust Microsoft, they know what they're doing.
Right.
It's better to be updated. I mean, you know, mistakes happen, but it's so infrequent. Yeah. I mean,
frequent. I mean, maybe this happened a few times.
You know, I've seen more. Maybe we're just seeing more reports of it. I don't know. But like Exchange went through this period where they were just having horrible problems with patches. So was, all the Office servers and Office client when they did Service Pack 1. So it seems anecdotally like it's more frequent.
And, you know, frankly, I mean, it's unfortunate you can't as an individual schedule this in Windows Update, but I mean, do you actually need most of these things right now?
Right. I know.
You know, I mean,
that's
really?
What he said. He said, you know, if you're using System Center Configuration Manager, you can just do a rule and it'll say, hey, delay this by 1 month. He said, you know, if you're using Windows Server Update Services or Windows Update, not so easy, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. But I think Microsoft really needs to talk publicly about what the solution is here to kind of get these patches back under control.
Well, tell me, because I need to tell people on the radio show what I've been saying is because of zero-day exploits.
I should do it right away.
Because you said, Leo, for example, I think you just said something to the effect of, you know, this doesn't happen all that often. But if you're a Windows 7 user in this case and you've just blue screened and you can't boot into your computer.
Doesn't matter. Once is enough.
Sometimes too many, you know,
This was not a critical update. So I could still say, always install the critical updates immediately.
Well, again, I mean,
Is that what Joe Elway is saying or?
Aiden just said he's advising his customers and colleagues to delay by a month.
Even critical updates.
He's just saying delay for a month.
I think that's bad advice. Because of zero day. Yeah. And we've seen more zero day exploits than we have seen failed updates.
Yeah. But you know, is that true, though? I mean, are there fairly regular stories about Windows users being
hit by zero day?
Yes.
Hacked by zero day exploits. Okay. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I really think it would be great for Microsoft sometime soon to come out and just say, you know what? We know people have been having trouble with these patches. Here's our guidance. Here's our advice. And here's what we're doing to get the patches back under control. They need to. And I'll tell you one false rumor that's going around about this. You know, when Microsoft just had their latest round of layoffs, a number of people who are laid off were testers in Windows.
Great.
But this is that a lot of people are saying, see, this is what happens when you lay off the testers in Windows.
No, they tested this before they left.
It was surely tested.
This actually, though, it's the people who are laid off as the testers, they weren't doing this kind of testing.
They weren't testing patches. Destiny for
they, and, you know, the reason Microsoft Xbox. Supposedly did that was because they are now changing the testing function, and the testers who are remaining are going to be more kind of like an engineer combined with a tester in their function. So if you hear people saying, oh, they don't have anybody testing Windows anymore, and that's why this is happening, that is not correct.
Okay.
You know what? Yeah. It's hard to do. Windows is a very, Windows runs on a very heterogeneous variety of hardware. Right.
Yep.
It does.
Yep. Yeah, they can have as many test matrices as they want, but all it takes is that one guy with the goofy configuration, and there are probably a lot of those guys, you know.
Well, and when you have 150 million user base, if you have 0.1% have problems, that's still millions of people. I mean, it's a significant, it's going to be a significant event.
Yeah, you don't want to
be
on the front lines that day.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
This is, like getting in an accident in a car and being killed by an airbag, or, you know, that minority of people who are
killed by a seatbelt. So do we say don't wear seatbelts? Do we say don't wear seatbelts?
Just because it has happened doesn't mean it's safer, you know, to ignore those safety features.
I know. It doesn't. Right.
I don't know. I want to be clear. I'm not taking a stand on this. I don't really know. I'd love to see data about the reliability of the Windows Update updates over some period of time. Just to draw some understanding of what's happening there, because I really don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Google, how many
there's somebody who's
Windows
listening.
Update
here, here's
crashes
some,
have there been?
Here's somebody listening right now to the show, Chris G. He said, I'm doing the thing where I delay the updates for a month, but not the 0 days. I do those manually because those have to be applied immediately. Yep, he said a lot of work. Yep.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and, you know, this is the thing that bugs me about this is I feel like one of the big sort of general themes that I spend a lot of time on is trying to convince people not to micromanage everything that, you know, computers have.
You can trust Microsoft. They'll do
I try not to say it like that, Leo, but I, you know.
That's what I say. I mean, it goes back to remember people would change the size of their swap file. I say, let Microsoft do it. They know better than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this case.
It's hard not to be compulsive when you've grown up on Windows computers because you used to run CheckDisk all the time, used to run those automated tools all the time, used to run Disk Defragger all the time. You know, you'd run first your antivirus stuff, and then eventually we had the anti-malware stuff and spyware and all that stuff. I mean, we're used to kind of hovering over the computer and you know, flipping switches and stuff. And I feel like we've gotten to the point where a lot of people are on board with not doing that anymore. And then this blows up in their face and it's like, well, you know, maybe I need to micromanage it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think I'm going to still tell, at least on the radio show listeners, that you should install Windows updates as soon as they're available.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even 0 days. It's people,
you know,
it's hackers who say, let me see what that update fixes. Oh, good. Here's a vector. Yeah. Let's write a virus.
Maybe the advice is as simple as leave it on in the default settings.
Yes, that's
because
my advice.
Windows will update those things in the background. And then over some amount of time, it will say, hey, by the way, you're going to have to, you know, reboot your computer. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than it's Patch Tuesday. Let me go install those updates. Like, just kind of let it sit, because in some cases that might not happen immediately anyway. And maybe if there is a huge problem right up front, I mean, a lot of those people might be spared by that. And so maybe the real advice is just kind of leave it alone until it tells you to reboot.
Well, I'm thinking about this because I'm going to talk about this weekend, obviously.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm going to say is just as we've learned with XP, relying on updates alone is not going to protect you. More important, don't run as administrator. Don't accept files from candy from strangers, that kind of thing. Now,
if you could stay off the internet, be in good shape. I can tell you that.
Right. Yeah.
My chief advice, and I saw the numbers. I think 94% of all Internet Explorer based exploits would be prohibited, banned, forbidden, wouldn't work if you ran as a standard user.
All right.
But how hard is it to run as a standard user in Windows? It seems
pretty much.
It's 8.1. It's not such a good experience. 7 wasn't so bad. It seems worse now.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into
that's not good advice.
Yeah, it's a tough one. If it was your computer and you were the only person on it, you could set up your admin account and then a standard user account, and you would know the password for the admin account, so you could hand check everything, so to speak, as it kind of went.
That's the best thing to do, I think. But I have noticed there's some things
if it's
in
a
Windows
shared computer,
8,
then you get to
right. That's a different matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a child, in other words, I want to do the right thing. So here's the computer to the child. It's not an admin account. Go have fun with that. They're going to be bothering every 15 minutes. It's going to be.
Do you do that with your kids? Are your kids administrator users?
Yeah.
Oh, you're nuts. You're insane.
Well, no. No. Well, my kids have a modicum of common sense. And I check their computers from time to time.
The kid I'm responsible for, Michael, who's 11. Plays Minecraft like crazy and Gary's Mod and all that stuff. Downloaded something that had a bunch of helpers and it was screwed everything up. And oh crap. So I went through it, I uninstalled everything, and he's now using it as a limited user. He hasn't bugged me. Occasionally, when he wants to install something, he'll say, "Can you come in and do the password?" And that's, and it's so much better. This is my issue. Somebody in the chat room said, which would you rather have, a Windows BSOD or a Windows that's hacked? I almost prefer a BSOD. Fixing a Windows machine once it has malware on it.
It's actually almost impossible sometimes if it's a rootkit type thing.
You could install Windows again and just get it back. That's right. So a BSOD is preferable in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, it's. And please don't use that as the show title. But. A BSOD is preferable.
A BSOD is a terrible thing to waste. It's a tough situation. And I feel for Microsoft because apparently this has to do with people using shortcuts for fonts instead of the actual fonts in their font folder. That's what one Microsoft engineer said.
Sorry, but Microsoft needs to test for that kind of stuff. I mean, this is their responsibility. They screwed this up. They need to not screw this up. They need to communicate what happened, and they need to communicate how they're going to make sure this doesn't happen again. I mean, there's just no way to excuse this.
So blue screens after applying KB2982791 to Windows Home. Eesh.
Yeah, that's going to be.
Yeah.
Like the waiting room to help.
Bring up the control panel, search for fonts, click on view installed fonts, look at the output to see if you have a file with a shortcut. If you have a file with a shortcut, bad user. Bad user. Fix it.
Sure.
So now this is somebody from Microsoft.
This is like a conversation from the 1990s.
I know.
Last time you looked at your font folder.
I have a font folder?
Yeah, like who cares? this is so weird.
And that's, then the next thing is I wait to install updates,
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to recommend that.
I'm compulsive myself. It's hard for me not to install.
What if you waited a week? A month seems a long time. Maybe a month in an enterprise, but what if you waited a week?
I wish there was a way in Windows to schedule that. Yeah. Like I wish you could say, I do want you to download these things, wait a week, wait 2 weeks, whatever the time period you care for, and then do it. There is no way to do that. And maybe we get there. I don't know.
Yeah.
So is it all fixed now?
No. It's not.
It's not all fixed.
Nope. They haven't re-released the update, I don't think.
No, they haven't.
So not yet.
Huh. That's only Wednesday of the week after it happened.
And you know, okay, I will say one thing. You know, the guys who are in charge of testing the patches and rolling out the patches, they have not gone home probably. They're like sleeping in cots at Microsoft, I bet, because they're telling them, you guys, you got to fix this. Come on, like, let's go. It's not like they're just sitting by going, oh, it's summer vacation. Let's fix it some other time. That's not what's happening.
And people wonder why I so frequently say, I'll get callers on the radio show and I just say, you shouldn't be, why are you running Windows? You get an iPad, you nitwit. I mean, there are plenty of people who need to run Windows, obviously, but those people either know what they're doing enough to solve this problem or have an IT department. But I get 70-year-old ladies saying, yeah, my Windows machine isn't working. And what am I supposed to tell them? Find the font folder?
Yeah. Jeez. That's crazy. I didn't need the ruble symbol. Why did you?
I don't want rubles. Take back your gosh darn rubles.
The only time I even the euro symbol, I only type by mistake. It's some key combination.
I know, I don't want it.
Control 3 or something.
Geek Emre in the chat room says you can delay updates. It's just another automated task. So you can go into scheduler and delay it. Is that the case?
I don't know.
I know what configuration manager you can do it.
Yeah,
somewhat
but that's
easily.
Enterprise. You have to have an enterprise.
Right. Yeah, I don't know about otherwise.
Yeah. What about the cloud? now you can take the rain cloud back.
Yeah. Now we need the black cloud.
What
after
happened
the
in
past
the cloud?
Week. Hasn't been a good week for Azure in the cloud.
This is a depressing show.
No, it's not depressing. It's just, you know what? It's the reality.
I am loving the Xbox One August update. Can I just say that?
Okay, that's good.
All right.
Go on. So I should clarify. There are some services that had problems this past week from Microsoft that do not run on Azure. Visual Studio Online went down for like a whole day. On Friday, but that was not because of Azure. And Microsoft CRM Online went down for a number of people for the better part of a day or more last week also. But again, not because of Azure, because that's not hosted on Azure yet. The Azure problem, which happened on August 18th, started out around morning time Pacific, and suddenly a bunch of their services started showing, what do they call this? Full service interruption. In other words, down. It started with virtual machines service and then the Azure cloud services. And then it kind of cascaded into HD Insight going down. That's Hadoop. You don't want Hadoop to go down. Azure mobile services went down. Backup services. It was like a cascading effect. And it wasn't down for everyone or everywhere, but it was down for a lot of people. And Microsoft was providing updates on the status dashboard, which was good. Telling people, yep, we know it's down. We're trying to repair it. And after a number of hours, I'm not even sure in the end how long these were down and for how many people they were down. They just said, okay, we've mitigated it. It's up. And so far, we don't know what happened. We do not know why that happened on the 18th. There's been no explanation. And I'm assuming, given how they do things there at Azure, there will be a lengthy blog post at some point telling people what happened. But right now, we don't know why that went down. There was no word about why. Just, hey, we're down. And then, hey, we're up. So it wasn't a great week for people using cloud services. I like that. Thunder.
Is it raining in Barcelona, Paul?
It actually did rain while we were here.
You know,
which is unusual.
So I mentioned that we might be delayed next week because the electric company is going to change out transformers and we're losing power. I guess they don't like to work at night. We're losing power between 8 and 10 a.m. next week at this time. So maybe we'll be a little delayed. And so we're trying to think, well, how do we do? We want to keep our signal alive, so we're going to do reruns. And we're thinking, well, we could create an instance on Azure or Amazon Web Services of a server and run it from there. And then we're debating Azure or Web Services. And after this, I said, well, can we use Amazon? So this isn't good for somebody. I mean, this is a case, maybe a small example. We have an Azure account.
Right.
OK. could do it now that they
just have an Azure failover. So when you
that's it.
Go
maybe
offline, it just
that's what you do.
Happens.
You have Rackspace, Amazon, and Azure, yeah. And one of them.
Sure.
then you're guaranteed, yeah. Unless level 3 goes down, and then we're all screwed.
Right.
The cloud. Yeah. You know what? We talk about cloud problems, but the cloud is still remarkably robust, and it seems to
it
be
is.
Getting more robust. I think the direction is correct. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I trust the cloud. I really like
the
cloud.
I mean, I explicitly trust the cloud.
You're in
I
Barcelona.
Mean,
what better way for you to
yeah.
work, right?
Yep. Actually, one of the interesting things that happened on this trip is I usually maintain a connection to my home server, through a VPN, and something failed over there. I don't know what it is. And you know, last year when my buddy Stephen Bank was over there, he's like a technical guy, so I could have... you know, pinged him and said, hey, but, you know, reboot the server or something. And the people over there now are not technical, and I'm not going to bother them with that. So, you know, you kind of just do without it. And guess what? You know, life kind of goes on. It's fine. So that's been kind of interesting.
Yeah, Gmail goes down for half an hour and people call 911.
I mean, yeah.
Or Facebook. But
yeah, you got to get your kitten videos, you know.
It's okay. It'll be back.
It comes back.
It comes back, and usually it comes back pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This past week, like I said, it's, you know, Azure had been doing pretty well up until this past week, and then this happened. And yeah. And that's what people remember, of course, because you go to try to use virtual machine or backup or something, and you can't. That's what you remember.
Yeah, that's the truth. And it bugs me because then when we talk about cloud, people go, oh, you can't trust the cloud. I'll never use the cloud. And because they remember the failures, but really the uptime is 99. It's like 3 9s. It's pretty good.
Right. Or more.
Right. Or more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Microsoft updates Windows. What is that?
I know. IoT. Sorry. Internet of Things.
Oh, there's a version of Windows for IoT?
Sort of. They're working on it.
It's not embedded.
I don't know if you wrote about this, Mary Jo, and of course we haven't talked about this. We haven't Mary Jo and I have not talked as much this week because she's been ignoring me on Skype. But because I'm because I'm here.
I have you blocked. I didn't tell you that.
Yeah, it's okay. So Mary Jo and I have often talked in the past about how Microsoft will announce something and we spend all this time parsing it and trying to understand what it means. And this thing, this announcement, was one of the densest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And the way I understand it, and it's possible that someone out there could correct me on this one, but about a month ago, Microsoft released the first preview version of the Windows for the Internet of Things, SDK. You could use a version of Visual Studio to access a special development board that you could have gotten at build. It was not an off-the-shelf development board. It's a special kind of a board. And, and it was C++. It was Win32. So it was a little weird. And so there was that kind of stuff going on. And the idea was, here's this Intel SoC chipset design. Target it, make fun devices. Mm-hmm. And yesterday or 2 days ago, maybe, they came up with what I take to be a second preview. This one targets an off-the-shelf first-gen Intel Galileo board. There's a second-gen version out already. So it's kind of opening it to a broader audience because there are people out there who have that kind of stuff. It's like an Arduino type thing. And obviously there are a lot of kind of gadget type developers or, what they call makers, who are out there building things and making little gadgets and stuff. And so they understand this hardware and now they can use this. But the thing that really struck me about this is they just called it – they didn't call it Windows for the Internet of Things. It's almost like – I almost believe that my constant harping on this has like hit some bone somewhere because they're just calling it like a preview version of Windows. Like they're not – and that's where the name ends.
Yeah.
My understanding is it is literally the second preview of that Windows IoT.
Yeah,
does that sound
that's my understanding
right?
too. Yeah. And supposedly this version is based on – Windows 8.1, which makes me think it's Windows embedded in to some degree, perhaps.
I literally, my original description of this thing, I said this is basically a modern, always connected version of Windows embedded. Yep.
Yeah. And it's supposed to work on I guess the first version that they came out with was a custom version, just tailored for a small group of people who wanted to get on board early with what the Galileo board folks are doing.
They had to approve you for the program. Like, you couldn't just...
Right. Yeah.
You know, you had to get the board from them. Mm-hmm. But now it's more open. Now you just need...
It is. Yep.
You could buy these things off the shelf. Of course, what people are complaining about now is... Well, thanks for supporting Gen 1, but Gen 2's out. You know, that's the one we've all moved to. And they say that support's coming.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't care. You don't need the faster thing. You want the cheaper, slower thing.
Yeah, so I am not usually cynical, as you know. And so on my site, the way that I described this to people was, you know, in the past, we wouldn't have seen these early previews. We would have gotten a beta, and it would have occurred in October, and it would have supported Gen 1 and Gen 2 and some other things. But now it's rapid release, and so now they're kind of petering stuff out at an earlier phase than we would have seen before. It's sort of like the Windows Phone Developer Program. Like, we're getting stuff earlier than we would have in the past. And so, you know, you can kind of complain like, oh, they didn't support this, they didn't support this. But you know what? Like, you're getting a really early peek at this. This is a chance to get in on a new platform at a much earlier time than they would have ever allowed in the past. And I think, you know, on that note, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a sunshine graphic, Leo, that you can put over me?
Yeah, where is that?
Yeah, we need the sunshine graphic. Sunny skies, blue skies, maybe some window clouds. Yeah. No, it is cool. I mean, it's kind of what Raspberry Pi is, but the Windows version, right?
Yeah. Basically. Well, the Intel version.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, this is as big of a deal for Intel as it is for Microsoft. Yeah. Both of these.
Is it x86? It must be. It's not.
It is x86.
Yeah, okay.
No, and this is straight Win32. This is real old school stuff. But, you know, it's in a tiny SoC package, right? Thank you. And
nice.
Both of these companies are looking to get into these markets because, I don't know if anyone was paying attention, but when the mobile thing started, they were not on board with that. And so today you see lots of Snapdragon processors and you see lots of Android and iOS. And you don't see a lot of x86 anywhere in the mobile space, in, you know, the real mobile space. Obviously, there are x86 tablets, but you don't see a lot of them. And certainly you don't see a lot of Windows. And now they're looking a little further ahead and saying, okay, we need to get out there.
We're in a happy meadow now. Sun has come out.
It's like one of those Disney movies, like a bunch of like animated birds will start flying around.
Yeah.
Zippity doo da,
zippity. But despite the fact that the sun is shining in Barcelona, Paul is getting darker and darker.
It's nighttime.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back with more Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Windows Weekly. I do want to talk about, I had a really great experience with the August update to the Xbox One because I came to work yesterday and I realized, oh crap, I forgot to download Diablo 3.
Right.
And I launched my Smart Glass app, bought it, and it downloaded. And by the time I got home, it was on my console and I was able to play for about 5 hours.
You're living in the future, Leo.
I am living. I loved it. So, see, the sun is shining somewhere in Redmond.
Yep.
Our show today brought to you by our friends at IT Pro TV. These are Don and Tim over there. We're, I think, kind of inspired by... Because we got the sun, I have to... I got it. There we go. Don and Tim were inspired by what we're doing here. I don't think... They were inspired by the sun and the rain clouds, but they were inspired by the idea that you could make geeky stuff entertaining. And since they had 10 years under their belts as IT trainers for folks getting certs, they said, why don't we do what Leo's doing, but for IT training? And that's when IT Pro TV was created. And what a great idea. In fact, I see the blinking light at itpro.tv, so if I click the on-air button, we can see what they're, what Don and Tim are up to right now. Because they're live, they do about 30 hours of new stuff every week. That means they've got a lot of new content. But you can also join and watch live on your Roku, on your, oh, it's previously recorded, but still, it's, you get a sense of what the live looks like on your Roku, on your laptop, on your tablet, and the chat room is there so people can participate with them, ask questions. They also do live Q&As to study, to specific study topics. It's really pretty sweet, I have to say. The Measure Up practice exams are included. If you're trying to polish up your skills or maybe you want to get a job in IT, you got to visit itpro.tv and sign up. They have monthly and yearly subscriptions. One advantage to the yearly subscription is if you get the yearly subscription, you also can download the audio and the video for offline use, and that's really nice. That's something people have been asking them for, and they listen. They listen, which is great. Let me show you this. You're going to love this. If I go to the IT Pro TV Lab, I can actually play with the sandbox. So if you're studying for your MCSA and you say, well, I don't have Windows 8 or I don't have a Windows server, how am I going to do that? Don't worry. You can go in, you can, any HTML5 browser, even on a Mac, I'm on a Mac right now, will allow you to watch this. I'm going to create an instance of Windows Server. I can create the clients as well. I've got three, I can set it up so that I can practice along with the coursework. This is phenomenal. I really love what they're doing. Corporate accounts are available for departments and companies. There. Look at that. Windows Server running. I'll never understand why they have the tiles on Windows Server, but there you go. I'm an administrator. I can do all the things I'd want to do. This really gives you a chance to really get in here and start messing with this stuff. I just think these guys are so smart. IT Pro TV. Now, here's our deal. If you go to itpro.tv /WW, we're going to get you 30% off, and not just for the first month or year, but forever. When you use the offer code WW30, that means it's less than $40 a month. That's for all of this. You watch all day long if you want. You can learn and absorb all the time. And for $40, that's less than like one book, certainly a lot less than IT Bootcamp. ITPro.tv. Now, Paul, you're going to have to help me shut this instance down because I don't know what I'm...
Did you, like, you actually fired up a VM?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think you're managing my home server. So go to administrator and sign up.
Okay.
Up.
Yeah. And then how do I shut it down after I do that? Because I,
whoops.
I don't.
What are you running this in?
What are you asking me for? I'm not an IT pro. Here we go.
No. Go to the top of the screen. Go to the top of the screen in the middle. Oh, there's no.
I'm just.
What is this in? Like, what do you do this for?
I'm doing this on a Mac in Safari or something. It's any HTML5 browser.
Oh, it's inside of a browser.
Yeah.
Well, hit escape first so you can get the browser Chrome back up.
Oh, I could just shut the browser, but won't that leave the instance? Maybe after a while it'll time out.
It doesn't matter if the instance is running.
Don and Tim, I'm sorry.
I wasn't paying attention.
I did this yesterday. I did this yesterday. I started an instance and then I couldn't figure out how to stop it. That probably then.
So what's the client? I'm just,
it's
curious.
It's an HTML5 based. So it works
like
in
a desktop app.
Yeah. It's really awesome. And you get a server.
This world
and multiple
is crazy,
clients.
Leo.
Crazy. This is so good. For $40 a month. Plus, you get this Measure Up exams for free. That's worth $79 bucks. I love it. Alt F4. I should have tried that. No, it's not that. It's probably what I did is the right thing. itpro.tv/dubdub. Use the code WW30. I'm not kidding. This is awesome. Moving along, Paul Theriot, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Wienders. And
Before we get to the next major topic area, yes. I wanted to ask Mary Jo a question. Have you been following this Windows Store scam thing?
What?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the stories about this?
Yeah.
So I haven't written about this yet, but I think the one thing I just wanted to tell people about it is, you know, there have been How To Geek, I think Lifehacker has written something about it. What they're saying is if you go to the Windows Store in Windows and you search for like a famous app like Facebook or VLC Player or whatever, you get the real app when it exists, but you also get a lot of garbage apps that steal the icon from the real app and look like the real app and all this kind of stuff. And the unfortunate truth here is that this has always been a problem. This is what the Windows Phone Store has been like for years and years. And Microsoft's policy on this is it won't do anything about it unless someone complains. And in many cases, they need the person who is like basically the IP holder to complain. And, you know, Raphael is someone who has looked at this on Windows Phone a lot in the past. He's found a lot of Nintendo ROM type apps, you know, where you can play games using stolen ROMs and, you know, on your phone, that kind of junk. And there's a lot of that crap in Windows Phone Store. And now there's a lot in Windows Store. And, you know, I mean, I think this is what happens when you have a mad dash to stock a store so you can say you have X number of apps and don't look silly next to the market leaders. Mm-hmm.
This is from the How To Geek website. They don't. There is no VLC for Windows.
Well, actually, there is. But the problem is there's a bunch that are not that app that all use the icon.
And it looks exactly like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is straight. So, you know, it's
the real one is free, not $4.99.
Right.
And so the scam in this case is simple. They're just charging you for something you can get for free.
Yep. Yeah. It's literally a scam. So the question is, how did this get by Microsoft? Did any human being actually look at that thing?
Yeah. You know, I've seen Joe Belfiore and some of the other people say, we know there's a problem with this and we're working on it. We're going to clean up the store. I've seen people commit to that publicly, but yeah, I remember when I was looking for, I think it was the Facebook app, and I was in the store looking for it. The real Facebook app was like 10 or 12 apps down when I was looking for it, and there were all these fake ones.
So no humans curating.
Yeah.
Look at this. Here's the iTunes Player app for $9. And what does it do? It helps users know how to use and download iTunes. $9.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
They definitely need to police it more for sure.
That stuff is, that should not be in that store. That's ridiculous.
It shouldn't
be. The very point of Windows Store is to provide a curated, safe experience that users can trust, kind of like the point of Windows Update when you think about it. And it's crazy that they have allowed any app like that in there. And I wouldn't be surprised if half the apps in there were like that. It's terrible.
Yeah. Definitely somebody needs to police it on Windows and Windows Phone, right? Both.
Yep.
The stores.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And, of course, since now searches go to the store,
right,
you're going to find scams right there on the
Firefox training light.
Just what you need.
Just in case you were wondering what was worse than ads in Windows, that.
Holy cow.
That's insane.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the dirty underbelly.
Oh. And it's been going on for a long time, apparently.
Yeah. It has.
Yeah.
It has. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing new, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, Microsoft is you know what the problem is? They don't have enough people working there. There's no.
Yeah, they fired that. They had too many employees. This is still a huge problem. This has always been a problem.
There are people there who probably are doing this, but could do more. Yeah.
If Apple, and by the way, can do it,
I know. Yeah. I know. Believe me. It's frustrating.
No,
it's
and the, you know things. What? The developers hate it too, right? I mean, the honest developers, right?
Because,
not the scam developers.
Imagine how VLC feels.
Right.
Sure.
You want your real apps to get top billing. I mean, that's why they redid the store design, right? To give people better billing.
Maybe the point of the store is that there is nothing else called VLC anything if it's not related to you.
Right.
That has the same orange and white cone logo.
Now, by the way, does Microsoft gets a cut of that $8.99, right?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's why.
It's disgusting.
No, I'm not saying it's why, but really, come on.
Yeah.
Yep. That means they're culpable. I mean,
yes.
You know, they not only allowed it, but then they made a profit off of it as well. I mean, it's really sad.
I'm going to cheer everybody up.
Yeah.
Mary Jo, show us your phone.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
It's pretty. It is.
So you speculated that, in fact, the HTC event yesterday was going to be showing an HTC One running Windows 8.1. And, in fact, there it is.
There it is, guys.
You guys went, I'm sure, to the event. Oh, actually, Paul didn't, but I'm sure.
Yeah, I would have. I mean, I was invited. Yeah. But.
Yeah, and the... one fun fact is they gave us press who got loaner devices this case, which is the dot case, and it's Xbox green, and it even says Xbox.
Oh, want. Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Oh.
Now, this is my this is actually one of my favorite Android phones. It's just great hardware. Mm-hmm.
But what about the camera? Is the camera any good?
It's 4 megapixels. Well, I'll tell you from the Android point of view. Then, Mary Jo, I'd love to hear what they've done on the Windows point. So it's 4 megapixels, and the reason HTC's reasoning is that way we can make them bigger, and so it's going to have better low light performance. That's not been my experience, but I've also, on the stuff you're posting on the web, if you're posting on it for a computer, 4 megapixels actually is enough. It's only if you're going to make a bigger print. What they do at least on Android, is they have the Zoes. They have a lot of really nice gallery features. Do they? Is that on the Windows side as well, Mary Jo?
Yeah. Yep. So I'll tell you, this phone is the exact phone that's the Android phone. There is the only difference between these phones is that the words Windows Phone are etched on the back. That is
And that it's running Windows Phone.
Right, and that it's running Windows Phone. But I mean, hardware-wise, spec-wise, yeah, it has all the HTC apps that, you know, right?
It has Blink Feed, I know. I saw
it.
That.
Does. I don't think the smart cover support is as extensive in Windows Phone as it is on Android. I think if you had that cover in an Android phone, you could actually have more stuff on it. So, I mean, I guess the question would be whether the camera was as...
They don't have Zoe either. Do they have Zoe on it?
Zoe.
Yeah, you would know if they had Zoe. So,
is Zoe?
On the Android phone, one of the modes is you shoot a video and it takes stills out of it. And then they have a really nice highlights feature that will make automatically a little movie for you of the day's stills and movies. With music behind it. And it's really nice. That's a significant Nokia thing to port that. Yeah, I'm sure Nokia has something similar. Yeah.
Yeah. I used the camera last night. I tried it out in low light. I thought, you know what? I've been using the Icon, which is a 15 megapixel camera, which is an amazing camera. But I got to tell you, my beer photo looked pretty good last night. Still looked good.
All my Hawaii pictures were from the Android.
Well, my understanding is the big deal here is there's two lenses, and so it can do post-processing on a photo.
That's right.
So when you get that effect where the background is kind of blurred out, you can actually apply that to an existing photo. That's you don't have to take it that way.
And Nokia, the Nokia Blur does that as well. So
they've got video highlights.
Yeah.
You can view your photos or clips by automatically pulling them into one short video set to music. Yep, that's on here. That is on here. And I'll tell you, on the dot case, one thing that Microsoft did that obviously isn't part of the Android one is they integrated Cortana so that you can use Cortana through the dot case, which is pretty cool. That was a
That's
nice
how
feature.
You know you're really using the voice. You know, can't see anything.
Right, then you open it up like, So... So far, I'll tell you, I really like it. I've only had it for a day. It's really thin and light. And this is why I love the HTC 8X, because it's a really thin, light phone.
So and it's thinner than the Icon.
It is.
Yeah.
It's much thinner, even with the case on it. Much thinner.
And, you know, the truth is I don't put a case on mine because it's such a beautiful aluminum body. Right. It's a gorgeous phone.
It is a beautiful phone. I'm scared I would let it slide out of my hand without a case.
I haven't dropped mine. Front-facing speakers, which give you a nice sound, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's nice. It's metal. It feels substantial, right?
I have always thought this was among the best hardware out there. I think Nokia still has better cameras and probably better cameras software. But,
but you know, we talked about this in the past, this notion that someone should, you know, release the same phone, Windows and Android. Right. And so finally someone has done that. But the other benefit of this, which is not immediately obvious, is although you see it with the case, is that HTC also has a hardware ecosystem built around this phone.
Right.
And now on Windows, you can take advantage of that.
Right. Yeah.
And that's actually kind of a huge thing. It's one of the reasons I've always not always, but for the past couple of years have recommended Nokia, because you're not just buying a phone.
Right.
Right.
You now have this choice of stuff that is styled to look like the phone, is designed to work with the phone. Is designed specifically for those devices. You know, in HTC, if you look at their website, you know, they don't have a lot, but they have, several accessories that were designed for this phone. And now you can take advantage of them if you have a Windows Phone version.
Yeah.
Are you sitting in a bucket of ice?
I know. I keep hearing ice. I'm like,
sorry.
Are you going to do the ice bucket challenge? Has that made its way to Barcelona yet?
No, I'm just going to give money, Leo.
Paul and I both did get challenged.
Oh, yeah? Who challenged you?
We did? Oh, I didn't even see that. Where was this?
Rick Klaus.
No, I didn't see it. Who?
He challenged us. The guy from Microsoft Canada.
Oh, I didn't even know. How? I mean,
how are you supposed to know?
Was I? Did he slap me with a leather glove? Or yes. I was supposed to meet him at dawn?
No, he put it on. I think he put it on Facebook, maybe.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, no.
Usually people tweet you like crazy saying, Paul, you've been challenged. Why haven't you done it yet?
He's in Redmond, not Canada. Okay. He's Canadian, I think. Sorry, Rick, if you're
not. I wasn't going to do it, and I finally bowed to peer pressure.
Yeah.
I had all these reasons for not doing it, but I bowed to peer pressure. Hey,
so you did it, right?
Yeah, I did it on Twitter on Sunday. Yeah. So,
back to this phone.
The M8. couple of some interesting points. Neo Wynn saying better battery life.
Yeah.
On Windows Phone. That's telling.
But I haven't been able to verify that yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, this claim has been out there for a while that Windows Phone is far more efficient than Android. Right. It runs on the same hardware, so it kind of makes sense that that might be the case. And
this would be the real apples-to-apples comparison we've been waiting for.
Yeah. You don't really get that a lot, so this is very interesting.
The other negative is that it's Verizon only for now, although I think other carriers...
Yay.
We'll get
guys,
it.
We need some good Windows phones on Verizon.
I guess it's coming to AT&T.
Yeah,
it is. Sprint it's 2, definitely coming to AT&T. Yeah. We asked them at the launch yesterday, was it going to go international? And they wouldn't say when it's going to be on Sprint or if. They only, you know, it was a Verizon, Microsoft, HTC event. So they weren't going to talk about all that.
Yeah.
The pricing is pretty amazing, though. $99.
That's, yeah, that was the other point I was going to bring up.
For a two-year contract.
That's half the price of the Android version.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Very aggressive pricing. And $29.99 if you want to pay monthly and you're on the Verizon Edge plan. So that's pretty impressive. What else? I don't know. I haven't used, obviously, the Android version of this phone, so I can't compare it to that. But I have been an 8X user, and I've been an Icon user now for a while. And I just like the thinner design, and I think it's the screen resolution is really great, 1080p. I don't know. I kind of like it. I'm not going to say I'm going to dump my Icon yet, but I'm going to keep using
it's
this.
It's a little smaller, isn't it, than your Icon? Not the screen. Yeah. Screen size is 5 inches.
Yeah, screen's the same.
But it's a smaller.
They're both five
physically.
Inches. Yeah. But yeah, because it's taller because of those two bands at the top and the bottom.
Yeah,
for
that's the weird thing about that phone. It's got.
Can you show us the widths, the relative widths of those? Can you kind of hold up the?
Take them out of the case way? Here.
Yeah,
I'll
the
take
case,
them out of
the
their
case
cases.
Is obfuscated.
Yeah, you can't. Yes. It is. Ouch.
I just snapped my phone in half.
You know, what's funny is I had HTC announced this for the Android, they announced the case, and I completely forgot about
can
it.
Can you
now
tell
I
by
get,
that?
I can see the icon's it's a little squarer, too, which makes it feel, seem thicker.
Squarer. This just feels blockier and heavier, and maybe they are the same weight. I don't recall, but this just feels more distributed than this to me.
Yeah.
It kind of fits in your hand because of the curved back.
It does.
I love the M8. I'm a huge fan of that phone.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious.
It's nice to have choice.
If
right?
Nokia and doesn't, if I can't get this repaired, the 1520, then I'll probably just trade in my Android M8 for Windows 8 M8.
Yep. Yeah. Good. So that was good. The launch was good.
That's all they announced, though. There were rumors they might announce a tablet. No tablet.
No tablet.
Right.
Yeah, that was it. Short and sweet. Here's your new phone, guys. And it's available right away, which is great, too. It went on sale online yesterday, which was the day of the launch, and today in stores, which is great because for a while we used to have to wait forever once a phone was announced, and now they're just showing up.
Now, here's the question. Will Verizon employees... let anybody know it's there.
Right. I know. Right. Good question.
In fact, there's you wrote an article on the perception is killing Windows Phone. Yeah. Much like perception killed Vista, perception is killing Windows 8. Is it?
Well, there are just these things that kind of hang out there in the air, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And in the Vista days, it was like those Apple ads, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC. And they would make these like complete baloney claims. And it would just, no one would ever challenge it. We'd all kind of clap each other in the back and laugh, you know, yeah, PCs suck, you know? And those kind of things kind of bother me. The interesting thing is, since writing this article, I pointed out some of that kind of stuff around Windows Phone and kind of talked about the basic baloney of the claims. But I think I just forgot his name. Ewan Spencer, maybe somebody from Forbes, wrote an article like, maybe I should just look it up rather than guess what his name is. Let's look at Windows Phone and like, what could they actually do to fix this thing? And I thought, oh, here we go again. He's going to write this complete baloney article. And actually, no, it was, you know, it was some good, you know, it was good. It was you know, nicely done. So you, I guess you can be out in the world and not be partisan about it and not be a jerk. And I can't actually find it for some reason. But, you know, a lot of this stuff, we just sort of accept certain things, you know, and there's also a kind of thing. It's like the Steve Jobs claim, you know, back in the day when Bill Gates came on the giant stage and he said, you know, between the two of us, we control 100% of the PC market. It was like, well, yeah, sure. But it's like 95-5, you know, like, I mean, and, you know, this article that I complained about, you know, the headline was Apple and Android control the world. And it's like, well, actually, it's Android and that controls the world. And then Apple's kind of a distant second. And then, you know, it's this weird, it's just like a perception. We live in like Perceptionville. You know, a reporter from a major publication said, I walked into a major square in New York City and I didn't see any Windows phones. Obviously, no one is using Windows phones. Mm-hmm. You know, don't take the time to go to one of those countries where we're in double-digit market share and see if there are any iPhones. By the way, one of the things you don't see in Barcelona is iPhones. You don't see Windows phones either, by the way. But you see Samsung everywhere. It's all Android here. So, you know, these things obviously depend on where you are. And I'm not – listen, everyone – who reads what I write and listens to me in the podcast knows I've always been very honest about Windows Phone's position in the market and how bad they have it and how hard it's going to be to catch up and all that kind of stuff. I'm not, you know, rah, rah, rah cheerleader guy or anything like that. But there's kind of a blind acceptance of Apple that I find disheartening and a blind acceptance that everything Microsoft does sucks and they're never going to catch up. And it's like, it's not that clear cut.
Paul, were you listening to the first half of this show?
Well, I was participating in the first half of the show.
I mean,
yes.
We just did a litany of problems Microsoft's having with Windows.
Right. Yeah, but Leo, you know, this is just what's happening this week, right? So, I mean,
it's not forever.
Yeah. You know, and Windows Phone is not Windows. I mean, it sort of is Windows, but I mean, it's not. Well, Windows Phone has unique problems of its own.
I agree, but I think if people. Windows Phone rises and falls as Microsoft rises and falls.
Absolutely.
People, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, it could be a real benefit. It could be, hey, this is the Microsoft phone.
If you look just at the broader world of computing, right, there's a reason that people are turning to simpler devices.
Right.
There's a reason that Chromebooks are taking off. There's a reason that Android tablets are taking off. There are reasons for this stuff. You know, Microsoft will or will not react correctly, whatever it is. I mean, I personally, my personal view is, certainly on the partisan side when it comes to Windows Phone, because I really do feel like it's better, but I also try to approach it, you know, from a realistic standpoint. I mean, the second big piece of BS that I pulled out in this article was, you know, Google's like Coke and Apple is like Pepsi. And I thought, that's interesting. I don't know anything about the soft drink market. Let's see what the relative market shares of those two products are. And you know what? Actually, those two products are pretty damn close. And in the smartphone market, Apple is actually this little thing down here compared to Android. They're not Coke and Pepsi, not even close. And like those are the kinds of things, like, you know, it's just like those, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC. You throw out a phrase, everyone kind of laughs. You know, it's like saying businesses buy computer, you know, buy PCs and people buy Macs. And everyone goes, yes, exactly. And it's like, no, not exactly. Way more people buy PCs than Macs. Still, you know, I mean, so I guess I just take exception to these kind of, they're just, you know, they just throw them out there and no one ever calls them on it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to make a career out of calling them on it, but it's disheartening.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we've said this before, the tech press disproportionately uses Apple products, right? Like we see it whenever we go to a press event, right? And, you know, Microsoft at the Surface launch really wanted to change those people's minds. They made it a point in saying, hey, Surface Pro 3, it could replace the Macs that you're all sitting out there using. The problem is those are the people who write reviews, right? They're the ones writing reviews. And so that's why it's hard, because people trust them. And a lot of them have not used Windows products. So
I have so many stories about this kind of stuff, and I'm not going to call out individuals, but Microsoft goes on their product tour years ago for their wireless networking products, goes through New York City, tries to get a famous tech journalist to write about their stuff. And he's like, yeah, this stuff looks great. I'm not writing about it. No reason. Just... You know, and it's that kind of stuff. This is just a this happens again and again and again. Yeah. This is the greatest phone you're never going to buy. You know, what a great headline. You know, thanks, Wall Street Journal. You know, it's always kind of skewed against the Microsoft thing and always skewed for the Apple thing. It's always like that.
Yeah.
I'm skewed for the Android thing.
Or, that too.
That's why this phone is going to be really interesting in the Verizon store, right? It's going to be, hey, this is the exact same hardware. And when somebody comes in, are they going to try to still sell them the Android version and say, you know what, everyone's using the Android version? Or are they going to say, you know what, we have two versions. We have the Android version and a Windows phone version. What do you like better? Look at it.
Well, you know, but the sad reality of the phone market is, aside from the thing you're talking about.
It's going to lose that comparison.
But that's not the comparison. This is what's going to happen. Next week's going to happen, and then some other phone's going to come out.
Right.
What they're going to push. They're going to push the Android flavor of the week. You know,
There's been great Windows phone hardware. It's not a lack of hardware. Yeah. It's the lack of Google. That's a pretty big lack.
There's nothing Microsoft can do about that.
I understand.
Just over YouTube.
It's not their fault.
No, of course it's not their fault. And by the way, I don't like it as a Windows phone user. I would like to have Google apps on Windows and a Windows phone.
If I could do Google Plus on this phone, I would buy it.
Well, you can with a third party.
It's
app,
horrible.
Right? But
that's a terrible app.
Yes. Oh no, I know. But my point is only, I understand why Google doesn't do it. I don't like it personally. But it's obviously their right. I mean, they don't have to support Windows Phone, but it's too bad. You know, Microsoft is you know, by nature of their position in the market, because they certainly weren't doing this 5 years ago. But they are broadly supporting all mobile platforms now with their apps. And so one of the nice things, if you're in the Microsoft ecosystem, is you now have a much broader choice of hardware and platforms, because Microsoft stuff is everywhere. I fully expect by the end of this year or whenever that we're going to see offline capable versions of Office web apps, or whatever they're called today, that work on Chromebook, because they seem to support it. You can do handwriting in OneNote now on Android. That's amazing. You know, we're in like weird territory for that kind of stuff. But you know, you don't see this. There's no credit being paid back to Microsoft for doing this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, they support Amazon's phones now very broadly in the tablets, and Amazon is not doing anything on Windows, anything meaningful. And, you know, Google's not doing anything meaningful. And it's, you know, it's too bad.
You know, the market for these phones, to me, has always been the enterprise. Because if you think about what Leo just said, which is right, you know, Google's lack of support is a limiting factor for a lot of people. But a lot of enterprises don't use Google. They still don't. They use Windows. Right. And they use Office. And for people like that, they should really be targeting those people with these, right? But they just recently added the enterprise features to Windows Phone that a lot of businesses needed.
I don't remember. So I don't remember if we talked about this before I left or the last, you know, 2 weeks ago, whatever. But I for some reason, I went back and looked at my original Windows Phone stuff when it was still called Windows Phone 7 Series, and they had just announced it. And I think people forget that when Microsoft launched Windows Phone, it was a premium phone that was going to go head-to-head with the most expensive phones in the market. It was aimed exclusively at consumers. They did have Office in there, obviously, but they had almost no enterprise support at all. It was all about games and music and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. It was about delighting users, and it was about integrated experiences. It was about panoramic user interfaces. It was all this stuff. And if you compare that, obviously they look very similar, but the direction has changed completely. We're targeting the very lowest end of the market by and large. They've opened it up so that you can, the phones are not as consistent as they used to be. You can run Windows Phone and Android hardware now that has no front buttons, has no camera button. They've obviously killed the licensing. They've gotten rid of all the, you know, virtually all of the hubs, and the panoramic experiences are basically gone. The integration with social networking is all gone. And now they're hitting the enterprise. And so it's almost, you know, they might as well just call it Windows Mobile. You know, they've really changed Windows Phone fairly dramatically in just, what, 4 years.
Too little, you know. Too late.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, when you're constantly forced to react, I mean,
it's
there's
pretty
only
obvious,
so much.
I think, at this point. I mean, I don't want to kill the patient, because it's good to have an ecosystem with choice.
Choice. Yeah.
Well, and you know what? Really though? Nice choice. Look, I love this 1520. It's a great app.
This was always the question, though.
Yeah.
And Stephen Elop finally voiced it in a kind of a formal way, but we had been talking about it less formally before they came along, which was, you know, will this market even bear a third ecosystem? You know, or does this thing shake out like the PC market, where there's the one big player, the one small player, and then, you know, little itty bitty guys over in the corner there. And right now we're the little itty, we're the Linux of the smartphone market, and, you know, is where Windows Phone is, in the sense that Android is Windows and iOS is Mac. Who knows? The car market supports hundreds and hundreds of models of cars, all from different companies. The computer market has lots of companies, but most of them run the same system. The phone market does too, but same deal, same system. So I don't know. You know, maybe we, you know, we'll see. But
yep. At least the M8 is a nice damn phone.
It is a nice phone. Yeah. I'm so glad they did that.
I am too.
Me
I want
too.
To see more. I have to tell you, it's because HTC's dying that they did it. They're absolutely dying. Oh, they can't sell the Android version either. It's been
2 years ago when HTC made the 8X and the 8S. You know, Mary Jo and I went to that event and were blown away by the thinness and the elegance of those devices. And they talked about how they designed them to look like the tiles, and they went on and on and on. And it was great. And then they did nothing for, you know, 2 years or whatever. And I think that this approach where you have a phone and you put Windows on it is not just better for that company because it's far less R&D. It's a known quantity. It's better for, you know, consumers, because for those people that do want to buy a Windows phone, they look at those Android devices and say, wow, I would like that, but I want it running, you know, Windows if I could get that. And now you can do that, at least with one phone. And I hope we see more of that.
Yeah. But honestly, it's Samsung all the way. They are Coke and Pepsi. Coke plus Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
They're so dominant. And it's, to a great degree because they spend billions of dollars on marketing.
Yeah.
They outspend everybody.
By the way, aside from their terrible live events.
Product launches.
They do a very effective job of advertising.
Apparently, even in Barcelona.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they're everywhere here. I did some tech support for my tour guide in Morocco, who had an S4, I think, or an S5, in a completely different language, obviously. And he couldn't get like a chat app off of his phone that his kid had put on that was driving him insane. And so I did sort of a cross-cultural tech support call there and was able to get it off of his phone. But it was interesting because in Morocco, it was Samsung. It's Samsung town, you know. You didn't see a single iPhone in Morocco.
Yeah.
I actually I might move there for that reason. It's kind of like the opposite.
Well, and to be fair, Windows Phone, unlike in the U.S., in certain markets, Windows Phone does quite well in some countries for whatever reason.
Nokia's brand has had a lot Nokia of helps. Cachet in a lot of places, unlike here, right? And they're also, I think this is why it's smart that Microsoft's targeting the lower end now with the Nokia hardware, because that's where they're making inroads in the mid-range, lower end. And they are trying to go where the demand is and where they're selling more phones. That's smart. It's what you got to do if you're a distant third.
Yep.
Let's see. The Windows Phone 8.1 Update 1 is now done. I got it on the 1520 right before I broke it.
Yeah.
So the developer preview folks have all been updated.
Well, what that means is the developer preview folks got update one, but now they got an update to update one. So,
And they're no longer developer preview. They're at the same version as everybody else.
This is a lot like that Windows IoT thing where I was saying, you know, we are getting things much earlier in the stream than we used to. So when Windows Phone 8.1 RTM backed in April, we were able to get it on the developer preview. And then between the time that that was released and it was sort of made generally available to the public, Microsoft updated it, and we got those updates. This confuses people because they think, "Well, I thought I had the final version. I must not have had the final version. This must be a beta or something." And no, it's the RTM version, but they update it. And it's just that a year ago or 2 years ago, we never saw this stuff. And so the update one release is on the phone Mary Jo just got, the HTC One M8, but it's not shipping. Right, it's not shipping on any other phone yet. So. Yeah. Presumably, those folks will get that update at some point as well. I'm not really sure how that works.
The issue that I was having, I wanted to get the Cyan firmware update, but I couldn't because I had the developer. Is that now being pushed out to?
No, it's not. And have you heard anything about that, Mary Jo?
No update on that. No update on that update.
That's good in a way, from my point of view, right. Because then. Sure.
Yeah, if you had just waited a day later.
Like if it had pushed out the next day, I would have like.
My glass half full view is I sort of hope that Microsoft actually does fix it like they sort of said that they would, but my glass half empty view is that that's never going to happen, you know.
Really?
And that what they're going to say is, look, you know, this was a bigger technical problem than we thought.
Oh.
If you were sophisticated enough to get into the developer preview and get the stuff on your phone, you can roll it back and reinstall. It's, you know, and by the way, you can restore from your backups. It's actually not horrible. You just lose, you know, an hour or whatever.
No, but Daniel walked me through the process. It was very straightforward. Yeah. There's a button that says backup now. I did that.
Yep.
You get everything backed up, and then you just download this Nokia software recovery tool. Somebody said you should try it on a different Windows machine. I was doing it on the Acer S7, the one we merged.
That's
interesting. And somebody said, I had a problem on the S7. Try it on it. So I'll try it later in the day.
There's no reason not to. That's not a bad idea.
Why not? It's a free download. It's pretty quick.
What are you going to do, re-brick it?
Yeah.
Don't lie. Yeah.
You're going to double brick it?
Don't patronize me, Paul. How bad could it get, Laporte? I'm going to pour a bucket of ice water on it. Surface Pro 3, yet even more patches.
I know. I assume you guys talked about the firmware updates last week, right? Was that a topic?
I don't even remember. Did we?
Yeah, we did. Okay. Yep.
So do you have any idea what this was or what? I mean, this was just a surprise.
Somebody tweeted me. They keep updating it, and they still haven't fixed some of my major issues. Have they fixed the battery issue, right?
A lot of people that this fixed a Wi-Fi issue that supposedly was fixed back in July.
I think the Wi-Fi issue still was persisting for some people after the July update.
Okay. So that fixes the fix.
This one is
They talked about UEFI as was part of this, right? And they said it was going, the boot.
Yeah, the boot environment.
The extensible firmware interface.
So did you have to do the firmware update?
You have to restart.
You restart and then it goes a little zzz, and boom, boom, and that's when it bricks.
That's when it bricks. Yeah.
I'm so skittish about firmware updates.
There's a better time for that to happen than when I'm 6 days away from coming home from a half-week tour.
Is that your only computer out there?
No, I brought a second one because I'm not an idiot. But, I've been using it a lot, so.
Yeah. But, I've been recommending the Surface Pro 3 for people who want to run. I had a young woman who said she was going to college and she wanted to run OneNote, and I said she said, what about the Surface? I said, it's a great OneNote machine. It's made for OneNote, right?
Yep.
She's studying film, and I said, it may not be a great, I wouldn't edit movies on it.
Right.
But
maybe with the i7 version, I don't know.
Maybe. That's what I said. I said, get the i7, get as much storage as you can, but you're going to want an external drive.
Sure.
If you're going to edit movies anyway. HP has revealed that it is possible.
Or HP's PC has been revealed. Might be a, a better way to say that.
HP's PC has been revealed. But it's a Chromebook. Wait a minute. It's a Chromebook that runs Windows?
It is literally a Chromebook. I don't know if anyone else made this comparison, but I brought up the spec sheet for their Chromebook 14.
Oh, it's the same hardware. Yeah.
They are almost exactly the same. Yeah. Different chip, AMD versus Intel.
I've been saying that the Chromebooks are just netbooks. Really?
Yeah. I mean, but this is interesting because I don't think people understand this, by the way. So I have a note there about people thinking this isn't going to work. People look at Windows 8.1 and they think, no, this requires high-end hardware. It requires touch hardware. You know, this and that and the other thing. But, you know, Windows 8.1 Update 1, one of the big things that happened there, which, by the way, none of us have seen, is the ability for that thing to run on very low-end hardware. 1 gig of RAM, 16 gigs of storage. And you can only get that on new hardware. And I don't know that anything like that has shipped other than perhaps maybe one of the new mini tablets or something. And so this is going to be one of the first... you know, PCs from a major manufacturer that has that system on it. And so a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, this isn't going to work. You know, you need all this high-end stuff to run Windows. I think the point of all this was to do what they did to netbooks, make a system that can run on that exact hardware and run well, you know, well enough to work, and get rid of that thing as a competitor.
Boy, $200 is so cheap. Wow.
That's the other thing. So, by the way, things could change, but that HP Chromebook is $300. And almost identical.
That's funny.
Almost. Almost identical. Yeah.
Is this... it's not small enough to have Windows for free. It's got to be under 9 inches, right? So they're still paying the Windows license.
Yeah, it's Windows with Bing, right? Isn't it?
That's Windows with Bing. So it's Windows for really cheap.
So, it's subsidized. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one way they keep the price down. Although Chrome OS is free, so I don't think you pay Google.
$200 is nuts.
Yeah,
like that's really cheap.
I hate seeing that because I know people are going to buy it, and it's just not going to.
Well, the hope is that this thing isn't a complete piece of garbage, right? So, you know, a netbook would have a little 10-inch screen, I think, or was it a 9-inch screen? Really small screen.
I have the first Acer, or Asus EPC. It was like an 8-inch screen,
teeny little thing. This is a 14-inch screen, right? Mm. Or a 13-inch screen. No, it's a 14-inch screen. 14-inch screen. So it's not like super
that's
high
nice,
res. It's
actually.
Like
no, but that's 6 nice.
By whatever.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Here's that's a decent size.
Here's my EPC. Yeah. This was.
Oh, you still had look at look how cute it is. It's I had one of those,
that
too.
Was the first netbook. This was like a revolution. I can't remember what they were selling it for. It wasn't $200. It was more than that. But it was still a big deal.
Much away. It was probably $300.
Yeah, it was pretty inexpensive. But and they fool you because they put a black bezel around it, so you think it's a bigger screen than it is. But,
but it's got really nice speakers, Leo, so that's good.
No, there's no speakers. Oh, yeah, there are speakers. Wow. I don't know if I could power this up. It probably has a proprietary connection.
Yeah, it definitely
does. You know what it has that most notebooks don't have anymore? Ethernet.
Yeah,
and
it's so
a modem jack. Look at that. Wow.
USB 1.1.
Yeah. History in the making. Nope, 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I can't recommend a $200 PC. I just have to think that they've made such sacrifices.
Yeah, yep. I know.
That it's just going to bring us back to that netbook era.
I'm not saying I'm going to switch to this thing, but I'm definitely going to test this. I'm really interested to see what this is like.
I think a 2520. Well, then wait a minute. That's RT, though. That's not right.
Yeah. But something of that class of hardware.
Like
you
that.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like we need a Surface Mini or something.
Oh, wouldn't that be a product?
Well, you know, there's the threshold, delta between though, right? this PC. Sorry.
We're going to have to wait for threshold for Surface Mini, I would think. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact.
We're never seeing a Surface Mini. Come on.
I bet we are. Yeah, I bet
really?
We will.
Really?
Yeah.
It happens.
Why not?
Yeah.
Not the one that was in the warehouse that they had to. Right.
The one in Alamogordo in the landfill?
Yeah, yeah. Not that one.
Right. Can I run an ET ROM on it?
Right.
Is there a rumor going around? Somebody's been talking about the fact that Internet Explorer for Android and iOS is possible. Is that a rumor going around? Is that possible?
I think Mary Jo wrote explicitly that that's not happening, right? Yeah.
I think the headline says not on my watch.
Yeah. Not and you know what? It's funny. When I wrote the story, which was based on a Reddit AMA that the IE team did last week, I had so many people saying, no one wants that. Tell them no. Why would anybody even want IE on our platforms? And you know what? Three people asked in the Reddit for IE on iOS and Android. So there you know what?
Actually, the IE team explicitly said no.
They said not in our current plans, right?
Here's the thing, though. I get them not porting IE to other platforms, but what they could do that would be huge if it was possible would be the settings sync stuff through another browser. One of the neatest things about using Chrome is if you have an Android device, all your bookmarks are there. Your passwords are there, you know, all that kind of stuff. On Windows Phone, we get that with IE, right? But if you're, you know, a lot of people who use Windows at work or at home have an iOS device or they have an Android device, you can't take advantage of that syncing anymore.
True.
Because unless you switch browsers or whatever. I wish there was some way to make that happen.
Yeah.
Because right now you have to stick with an explicit browser to make that work.
And the other tidbit from that Reddit that we should bring up because this made a few headlines too was the IE team acknowledged there that they have been considering, and up until quite recently, and they didn't say the idea is off the table, rebranding IE because they feel like they've really changed IE and made it so much better and gotten away from the old non-standards compliant IE. And they don't believe that most users know that IE has really changed. So they said, we've been kicking around the idea of rebranding. And jokingly, somebody said, we thought about Ultron, but our lawyers said no.
I'm sure that was a joke. Nice. Yeah.
But then I saw a couple people report it. I'm like, wait, no, that was a joke.
That was a joke.
That's awesome.
They said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should call it Navigator. I hear that name's not taken at the moment.
Hey, I think that's a good name. I like that.
Quickly, because we're running out of time
running out of time.
OneNote mobile app updated for Windows 8 RT.
Yeah, there you go. That's all we need to say about that.
And Android. I noticed a big update for Android, including
the
Android.
The Android one is big. And that ends handwriting support, which I tested very briefly on my wife's phone because she has stylus. And actually, I have to say, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Light Scribe 3. What is that?
So this is the smart pen, right?
Oh,
So it's still not as sophisticated as I'd like, but the way it works now is the way Office Lens used to work, which was when you sync to one note, it only goes to the quick notes in your default notebook.
Right.
Right. So you have to go in and find it, and then maybe you want to move it somewhere else. And so with an update that's actually not out yet, but it's coming this week, they're going to let you choose where you want those things to sync, which is obviously ideal. So,
And I see here a note that says, holy crud, did Microsoft just fix Skype?
This is the biggest news story of the day, Leo. And
what
I mean
happened?
That.
Really? What do you mean?
This just happened.
And so, let's see if it really works.
I know. That's the thing. So, we've seen this happen. You guys call me when I'm home in my office.
You've been bitching about this for months.
It rings in the browser. Yeah. It rings on my phones. It's like it's ringing everywhere in my office. And so what they're saying is they're claiming they're fixing this.
It's the Paul Theroux
fix. If they do fix it, I'm not saying that I will love Skype, but I will tolerate Skype.
Is it true
stop being openly hostile
to Skype. Is it true that they say they're not going to continued development of Skype for Windows Phone 7.
And older versions of Android.
A while ago. Okay. They said that a while ago.
All right.
But here's the thing. So I wrote about this. I had a crazy number of responses to this. People were outraged by this. And you can imagine the responses. If Microsoft's not going to support their own problem, you know, their own platform, you know, yada, yada, yada. Windows Phone 7? Did this impact any of you? I mean, everyone who's complaining about it, could the one guy actually using this combination of solutions, please raise their hand. Really? I don't. Who? What? I mean, I don't know. That didn't seem like a huge deal to me, but.
Stand corrected.
It's not supported on iOS 3 either, you know? Well, I mean, sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, I forgot. I think we buried the lead. Steve Ballmer has left the board.
Yep. How about that?
Now, but you, I don't. I guess, had said this would happen because inevitably it's going to be Satya's world. He doesn't want. But Ballmer and Gates.
I didn't see it that way.
Yeah, I thought that would be a natural, kind of transitional at least.
You know, I think a lot of what Microsoft's doing right now is about managing perception. Right. And if you have the guy who you kind of booted out as CEO still on your board, you're like, okay, is it really going to be a new Microsoft or not? Mm. And I'm sure it was his decision when he got to leave. Because you know what? He's the biggest independent shareholder still of Microsoft.
Yeah.
So you don't want to anger him.
Yeah.
Yep. Bigger than Bill Gates. Yep. So I think it was all timing. You know, Steve bought the Clippers. It was a big rah-rah thing. I don't know if you saw any of those videos of him talking to yelling at the Clippers fans.
He said, call me Steve, not Mr. Ballmer.
It was funny to watch all the sports reporters on Twitter going, who is this guy?
They're going to love
him. Another Mark Cuban.
In the NBA. Yeah. Oh, he's going to be throwing chairs. He'll be on the floor there. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So, you know, it was good timing. It was like a real upbeat
point guards.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I think it was just like, you know what? We're going to have him announce now that he's stepping down because he has a lot on his plate. He has the Clippers. And by the way, he's going to be teaching a class at Stanford.
I thought it was funny they mentioned that. That is so time consuming that he cannot go to these monthly meetings
exactly.
anymore.
Very busy. No, I think he is a busy guy, but, you know, I've seen people say now there's an opening on the board. That's not technically correct. Microsoft is always looking for board candidates, and so it's not like there's a hole on the board that they have to fill now. That's not right.
There's no fixed number that you have to have.
No, there's no fixed number.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on his way. I'm sure we're still going to hear from him, see him around at shareholder meeting probably. Wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Good. Oh, boy, here we go. Here we go. Let me just play a little bit of this. Oh, Lord. I mean, it's clear somebody knows who he is, right? The crowd.
Or at least they're just fired up, right?
This is at a fan fest. Clipper fans here! Oh, my God. He is so made for this job.
Yes.
The players
are
going,
trying to lose it.
What the...
Cheer! We'll try it my way. I love
you,
Larry.
Okay. This is Steve Ballmer leading this Microsoft sales meetings. This is his natural habitat.
It's nice to see that guy finally slowing down. You know,
he's got to be happy. And why? You know. Yeah. I for so many reasons, this makes sense. You don't need somebody hanging around from the old days, diluting what Nadella's doing. It is, in fact, a lot of what Nadella's doing is unwinding stuff Steve set up. I think it makes sense.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't think I didn't see it coming. I can't claim I thought this was going to happen, but
there were people on Wall Street who've been calling for this, and I'm not saying that's why they did it, but people were saying, you know what, it doesn't look good if you want to have a new Microsoft and you have a guy who's the old Microsoft as a board member.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's
but
fair.
You got Bill Gates.
I was going to say, so Bill Gates is next, right?
And I know Bill's not really doing anything these days. He doesn't run
but
a sports franchise.
But he is. He is, in fact.
No, he is.
Yes, yeah, I know. He's very busy.
He's with Satya Nadella, supposedly.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's doing product reviews again at Microsoft, too. So,
come on, we're going to look back at the last year's developments and say Steve Ballmer was forced out. They gave him his marching orders.
Sure.
And
a lot of people say that now. Yep.
They said, don't let the door hit you on the way out. To make it look, you know, like it's not horrible, we won't fire you from the board yet, but can you do your best to get out of here?
Every year, you pick your timing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's pretty much, it's obvious, right?
Yeah. But again, you know, when somebody's your largest independent shareholder, you don't want to really get
that's right.
You can't ignore them.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
going to show up to the meetings. He's going to be looking for his coin.
He owns like 4%. He owns 4% of Microsoft. 3.99%
is worth $17 billion.
Yeah. All I'll say is when he comes with the Clippers to New York, I hope I get to sit courtside. That's it.
I'm telling you.
Just throwing that out there.
He is totally a Mark Cuban, isn't he? He's going to... He even says this. He basically said, I'm going to micromanage this team! He basically said that, didn't he? He said, I'm going to be a very involved owner.
Yep. Oof. He said he was going to be a very involved shareholder, too, when he left as CEO.
I can't hear you! He's going to lose
his
voice.
He's going to make it fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Right? No, it's sports.
Those
it's okay.
Those guys, they need this. They need this so bad.
After this Sterling guy, I mean, this is good.
And, well, not just this last year, but the entire, whatever, 20-year tenure of middling basketball teams. I mean, they really need this.
Mini Apple Man in our chat room says he should have bought a WWE team.
Yeah.
He would have been great in... He's the Hulk Hogan.
He could just be like the manager with the hat and the cigar. He would actually jump in the ring. Yeah. That would actually be pretty funny.
You should buy a roller derby team.
That would be great. Oh, man. That would be funny.
The Bomber Bombers.
That'd be great.
Let's take a break. When we come back, the back of the book, tip of the week, pick of the week, beer of the week, all that week stuff. The back of the book. Or something like that. Classified ads for CDW. It's all in the back of the book. But before we do that, a word from our fine sponsor, LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom, of course, is not a law firm. Please do not mistake them for a law firm. You won't get any big bills. My lawyer charges me for a tenth of an hour. That's 6 minutes. And it's expensive. An email to my lawyer is $40. Just for him to read it. So this is not what you need. In many cases, you can do everything you need with a little, help from LegalZoom. It's not a law firm. It provides self-help services at your specific directions. And I know you guys, you want to do it yourself. Especially if you're, starting your own business. The whole reason people start their own business is so somebody doesn't tell them what to do. So you can do it yourself. And I want to just say, I'm a perfect example of this. You can create an LLC or a Chapter S or C Corp right there at LegalZoom.com for very little money, for less than it takes my lawyer 1 hour of his time. A lot less, actually. About three emails worth. You can start your own business. You can do a will. You can do a trademark. LegalZoom, in fact, if you go to the LegalZoom site and you look at all the services they provide, there's so much you could do there under your direction. Most American, I think August, isn't August National Make-A-Will Month? If it isn't, it ought to be. It is actually. I didn't make that up. And I don't mean this in any way like you're going to kick off this month, but I do mean that if you don't, lately we've been talking a lot on the shows about what happens to your social media presence when you pass away. And the truth is, just like every other piece of property, if you don't express your intentions, the government decides, the courts decide. And if you've got kids, if you've got personal property, you don't want that to happen. You want to make a will. And it's an easy thing to do and a very affordable thing to do at LegalZoom.com. It starts at $69. And if you need attorney support, they've got that too. They've got pre-negotiated flat rate pricing with attorneys all over the country. You can read their profiles, unedited reviews from actual users, and get the right person for you. LegalZoom was developed by some of the best minds in the country, and they make it painless for you to get the legal help you need. For 13 years now, special pricing on wills and living trusts at LegalZoom.com. Make sure you use the offer code WINDOWS in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom, developed by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. They're not a law firm. LegalZoom provides legal help and through vetted independent attorneys. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Make your will if you haven't done it. Sometimes I feel like, I'm kind of a nag. Back up your data. Make your will.
Yeah.
But these are things you got to do. I don't mean to nag you. I feel the same way. I mean,
We waited till our kids were probably 8 or 9 before we made the will. It's a good thing nothing happened to us. LegalZoom.com. They'd be staying in the church somewhere.
Both of the people that we put in our will for the kids have since been divorced.
Yeah, you, so maybe Paul, you might want to.
We also
that.
Have we have yeah. we have some updating.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing. Same thing. It happens yeah. all the time. Yeah.
We obviously chose great parents.
Yeah.
So that was smart.
Yeah. Well, but on the bright side, you're not dead yet.
Right. Working on it.
Working on it. Having a little more absinthe. Tip of the week, Paul Thurrott.
So I will blow through these quickly because I know we're
it's
behind.
All right. We're having fun.
So I'm going to, I've written some about this. I'm going to write some more, but this trip has inspired me to do something about my wireless carrier. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. But I'm going to be exploring options and looking at this kind of stuff. I will say that if you do travel internationally, possibly the best deal from the United States is just to be on T-Mobile. And you get free data and free texting when you come international. And we've used a T-Mobile phone here for that purpose, and it works fantastically well. And I think for most people would be all that you would need. I'm kind of blown away that they offer that. But anyway, I'll write more about that in the future. So software pick of the week, I've got a couple. In addition to the new versions of OneNote that just came out for Windows 8, RT, and Android, we have a ProShot for Windows Phone 8 and 8.1, which I actually had as a pick, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. It's an awesome photo app for Windows Phone. It's available for free now, just for a temporary time period, I think for a week or whatever. And so if you didn't grab it before, because I want to say it was $2, just get it now. Just use it as a backup. You know, it's a great, in particular for low light photography. If you find, especially in a Lumia, where you just can't get it to not overcompensate for the darkness, take shots with ProShots and set it. It's an amazing, amazing photo app. And the other one, and I
not only
Mary Jo
downloaded
this,
it and paid $2 for it, but I bricked the phone immediately after. So
yeah, I'm sure that was completely unrelated.
Yes, it was.
Mary Jo, do you remember Tapped for Windows Phone? Was that the app we were using for Untappd before the official app
came
out?
Is
that right? Okay. I think so too. So it's back. I think it was gone for a little while.
It was.
I've actually, it's funny, I don't really have time to do this, but I've looked into getting the, you have to sign up to do this with Untappd, but you can get the APIs from them and you can write your own apps. And that's what these guys have done. I haven't spent a lot of time with it, but I was just interested to see that it was back. What I've seen so far is that some things are actually better in this app than the official app, and some things are a little more tedious, like okaying friends, you know, friend requests is much more tedious in this app. But some of the posting stuff is actually really nice in this version. So if you spend a lot of time on Untappd, and I'm not saying that you do, but if you listen to this podcast, you might. That's something to look at.
Good.
Yeah.
Untappd. Not Untappd.
Well, the Tapped is the unofficial.
Tapped, yeah. Not Untappd.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Our enterprise pick of the week from Mary Jo Foley.
Yes. Our enterprise pick is an enterprise integration server that Microsoft has called BizTalk Server. And, you know, it only has 13,000 customers, but many, many of the Fortune 100 are customers of BizTalk, as are a number of big enterprise users. And the reason I made it my pick this week was there was a tiny bit of light shed on the future of BizTalk in a blog post this week. This is noteworthy because Microsoft's not talking that much about its on-premises server products lately, as Paul and I mentioned earlier in the podcast. But on this blog called Wiki Ninjas, the official blog of the TechNet Wiki, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes because it's hard to find, they talked about what's next for BizTalk. And they said there's going to be another major release of BizTalk coming, the server, and then there's going to be a minor release in conjunction with a release of the BizTalk service. The BizTalk service is BizTalk hosted on top of Azure. And it was first launched last November. Microsoft's been updating it every 3 months. So it's another one of those cloud-first services where if you want to be on the most current version, which not everybody does, you should be on the BizTalk service as opposed to the server. But they are saying over the next 2 years, you're going to see a lot more integration between the cloud, the mobile device, and Internet of Things. And that's why you're going to hear about these next two versions coming out of BizTalk. That's going to fit in with the whole cloud-first, mobile-first push at Microsoft. So it's good to know because some people wonder, you know, are they going to keep updating BizTalk? And the answer is yes. There's at least two more versions on the roadmap.
Steve Jan Wiggers says it all.
Yes.
I want his name.
I know. That's a great name.
I'm sure in Holland or wherever he's from, it's completely normal. But Steve Jan Wiggers. And Enterprise. Oh, no, that was Enterprise. Name. Yeah. Now, this is not a rumor.
No.
Is this a code name or?
No, it's not. So I modified it a little.
It's a name pick.
Yeah. So instead of a code name pick of the week, we're doing a name pick of the week. This is about the next show, big show that's going to replace TechEd and the SharePoint conference and a number of other Microsoft shows. Microsoft is going around privately asking some users and IT pros what they would like to see the name of this conference be. So we've already said this conference is happening next year, week of May 4th in Chicago. And the names are rather curious that are on the short list. I'm not sure I like any of them pretty much. But they're asking people, do you like Microsoft Current?
No.
Microsoft Co?
No.
Colon?
Colon? Colon?
It's Microsoft Co, colon. I don't know why. The colon symbol.
Sounds.
Yeah. Sounds Microsoft 4C, spelled F-O-R-S-E-E.
No.
Or Microsoft 4, number 4, the letter C.
No, that sounds like they're in a room in the hotel.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Microsoft Go.
Go!
Microsoft Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Microsoft Spark. I don't know.
You can't call it Tomorrow because then people will say, oh, I'm going to the Microsoft conference. What is it? Microsoft Tomorrow? Oh, is it tomorrow? No, it's today. Wait a minute.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these names, and there's Unity on the list too, which I think is probably the least bad of those choices.
Aren't they going to just keep, like, Build or
Tech
something?
Ed?
Not TechEd. Maybe
Paul is the one who's like, why don't they keep TechEd? But I think they won't because...
It's called TechEd. That's what this thing's called.
It will end up being called it. You know what?
I don't think it will, though, because they're trying to show it's something new.
It's TechEd Plus.
Yeah, TechEd Plus. Yeah, TechEd Plus. How about TechEd Plus? I don't know.
TechEd Cloud, and then no one will come.
Call it the Clippers. Oh, no.
The Clippers. Yikes. Clippy Clippers. Clippies. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But those are the names that are being weighed, we hear. And I think we should know the real name sometime fairly soon.
Well, they wait said a minute now. Aren't all the new names coming from Halo?
Maybe no, those are only product
the
codes.
The Covenant.
Not shows.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Covenant. I like it.
It's a little too religious.
Yeah, maybe. And finally, a beer of the week.
My beer pick of the week comes from Paso Robles, California. Firestone Walker. Yeah. They make a lot of really good beers. They make a lot of IPAs, double IPAs, black IPAs. But they make a saison that's called the Firestone Walker Opal. And it is really good. It kind of tastes like wine barrel influence, though I don't think it's aged in wine barrels or anything like that. But I just had it last night because it was Firestone Walker night at Rattle and Hum. And it was really, really good. So they say Sauvignon Blanc tones, which are actually really good in a saison. It sounds a little weird.
Crisp.
Beer,
it'd be crisp.
Wine. Yeah.
I mean, that's serious wine country right there. Paso Robles
is, yeah. Pimpinos, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really good beer. If you see it anywhere, it's in bottles, it's on tap in various places. It's not as common as some of their other beers like Easy Jack and Wookiee Jack, but you can find it. And if you do, I would say give it a try if you like saisons. I think Paul Thurrott would enjoy it.
I do like saisons. I
had one the other night. I was thinking of you too.
Yep, very good.
Yep, it was a Belgian saison.
Yeah.
Microsoft Under the Dome. How about that?
Under the Dome, wow.
That's for Paul's benefit.
I suggested
Microsoft in the trash compactor from Star Wars.
How about Microsoft Teehee, guys?
Teehee.
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 Microsoft Teehee.
T-E-E.
Like TechEd, you mean? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No? Not catching on? Okay.
Channel 10.
No, no.
Nice.
Like Channel 9.
Goes one better. Microsoft True Blood. No, all right. Enough of that. I'm sure they'll come up with a wonderful name, and we'll all
are
go.
You?
Oh, of course, Threshold. That's perfect.
I wish I had your certainty.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show has now come to a grinding halt.
That's somewhat natural conclusion.
We have reached the end of this road.
That does not mean we won't be back next week. We do Windows Weekly every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on Twit.tv. You can watch live, chat in the chat room, be part of the show. Just tune in then at live.twit.tv. But if you don't get to be here in person, we'll make on-demand audio and video always available after the fact at twit.tv/WW. We're a little slow on getting the shows out. We had a fiber channel card fail, and it turns out they were last made in 2006.
Yikes.
Oh. So we're scouring eBay for a replacement. Meanwhile, these shows are so big, the file copy is now taking an hour and a half.
I need more time to complain.
So, yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay. Have we fixed it?
We have one on its way. It should be here either tomorrow.
But we got it on eBay?
Yeah.
So
it's being shipped on Russell's Priority FedEx account.
They're shipping at Priority FedEx. And you're sure that it's going to be a Fiber Channel card and not, let's say, a Vuvuzela?
Yeah. It's a box for a Fiber Channel card. We just spent thousands of dollars on.
So just so you know. Now, and we only need it for like 3 weeks because late September we'll move to the new Dell machines and we're eliminating the sand entirely. So that's why we don't want to go out and buy something completely different.
By the way, did you see Alex and Russell fixed my Skype issue?
That was a question I had for you. You did not freeze at all. What happened?
Nope.
How did they fix it?
Man, they did a lot of, I don't even know what all they did, but they remoted into my machine and fixed a bunch of stuff with Skype and changed the ports around. I don't know. I don't know all what they did.
They put malware all over your computer.
Do we not have amazing engineers? I mean,
I was stunned that they fixed it. I was like, wow, they did it.
You did not freeze once. What was it? Do you know? Alex is stepping in. He says it looks like Charter was doing it.
Charter?
Is that a cable company?
Yeah, her cable company was blocking certain ports. So you actually complained to Charter?
No.
No, you bypassed it.
Yeah.
They port forwarded it. I get it. Okay. So for some reason, some ports were being blocked or gated, and they fixed that. It's awesome.
Netflix is going to be really fast.
This is the kind of support that everybody wishes they had.
Yes.
This is Mr. Magic, Russell Tammany of Exponentia Systems. You know what? You can hire him. He doesn't work exclusively for us. Mm. Very talented. Paul and Mary Jo, let's see. You can find Paul at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. That's where he makes his home in the dark in his cave.
I wonder how dark it is without the light.
Are you leaving this week? Wow.
I don't think even Skype can fix that.
Like a raccoon rummaging through your trash.
We can't see you at all.
We need little pair of glowing green eyes.
Are you guys leaving this week or coming back or no?
We're coming back on Monday.
Oh, so you'll be home. Oh, I'm sorry. It sounds like you've been having a great time in Spain. That's great.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah.
Paul knows how to vacation. Mary Jo and I have yet to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Mary Jo Foley's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And Paul's book, he's got several, as always, that he's working on. His Windows Phone book, his 8.1 update book, the field guide, all of that. You know what? You can go to the Supersite for Windows and get links there. Or Windows81book.com.
Yep.
And that has links to everything. I told you where you get the show. Make sure you subscribe if you can. I think I've done everything.
I don't think you describe where Mary Jo is.
She's in New York City. She's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. I said that.
Did you?
I gave her a free plug, yeah.
I don't have field guides and stuff, but I do other things.
She's the best. She is the queen of scoops. This woman makes great beer. What?
The queen of beer,
Beer.
Some beer.
And if you didn't see our triangulation interview with Mary Jo, you should. You're next, Paul.
Yeah, he's got to be up next.
I'm dying. I just feel like there's such a treasure trove buried deep within that bizarre psyche.
It's like one of those. It's like one of those dumps that's like out on a barge for some reason, looking around the ocean.
Yeah, Mr. Midden, we call him. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.